across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Ah, dearie, dearie mate, it's Monday. It is, I'm tired. I've had a long weekend. How about you guys? We're going to start the show off. We've got Angelos Epithemeou, was doing his show last week. He came on the other week. He was doing a show on Friday. We'll get him back on after 10 and see how the show went. If you want to give him a call, now's a great time.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey, I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey, I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman. It makes Eastwood look so fine.
Oh, dearie me, there we go. Right, yes, Alan.
Hi, Ian, how's your mum?
She's much better. How's your mum?
Not better, though. We found out what the problem was.
What was it, you?
No, she's got a kidney infection.
Oh, mum had a kidney infection!
Oh, my God, this is weird.
Wait, your mum's not my mum, is she? We're not brothers, are we? Jeez, that would be weird and awful.
I know, and it was so weird.
Yeah?
And also, it's good to hear the fall guy opening the show tonight.
All right, listen, you anti-littlest hobo, hobophobic.
I'm just saying, it's good to have a change.
It's good to have a change. A change is as good as a rest. That's nonsense. A rest is much better than a change. Now, Alan.
Yes, Ian.
Do you remember last week, or the week before, we were talking to a young gentleman, an entertainer by the name of Angelos Epithemeou.
That was the Wednesday before the elections.
Was it really? What a strange memory you have for election dates.
Yeah. Hi, Angelos!
I've not introduced him. How did you know he was there?
Psychic.
Psychic, yeah. Angelos, you're there, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'm here. I'm listening to every word of it.
Right. OK. It's a strange tone. And I thought it would be a bit of fun, Alan.
Yeah?
If we got Angelos back on.
Yeah?
To talk about the show that he did on Friday, Friday the 13th, Spooky.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Was Jason there?
Yes.
Was Jason there, Angelos?
Yes. Yeah, I'd have thought so. Yeah, Jason. Yeah,
okay.
It was. I definitely remember seeing him there. Yes, yes.
Okay, and
I've never met him.
No, and I thought it'd be interesting, Alan, if he told us how the show went, because I had a few emails over the weekend.
From some
people who were a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, this is it. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
How did the show go, Angelos?
Oh, you know, mate, we went there with all the best intentions, you know, to do our talk all about Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
And, yes, and all the industrial dynamics in an emerging Chinese market, we went to do that. And the whole thing was a bit of a farce, you know.
I've got an idea for your next show, Angelos.
Hey?
I've got an idea for your next show.
Oh. What is it?
How about playing a bit of Hopkins Bingo, because he's on tonight.
Okay, well, let's not confuse Angelos with Hopkins Bingo, Alan.
Which Hopkins Bingo?
You've heard of Katie Hopkins?
Yes, I do know her. From this morning.
Well, she's got a show on another radio station at the moment.
Okay.
And we normally have two callers guessing what topics he's talking about.
Right, okay. And what's she talking about tonight, then?
Well, I don't know. We have to guess.
That's what you'd have to... That, if we were playing that now, Angelos, that's what you'd have to guess.
Dogs?
I tell you what, right, Alan, I'm going to cut you off because you're annoying me.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There we go. Took that very well, didn't he?
Yeah, on the chin.
And that frees up a line so I can then bring Barry in. Good evening, Barry.
Hello.
Oh, it's Barry from Watford. I didn't realise.
Hello there. All right, Angelos.
Hello, Barry. You all right, mate?
Yeah, all right, mate. Nice to speak to you, mate.
Now, both of you
too, mate.
Are sounding... Because you did your show on Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And
yeah.
you're both, when you came on to talk about it, you're both full of spunk.
Yeah.
Well, we were up about it then, you know, we were all up for it and all the rest of it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, optimistic
and
we were.
And now you seem very down. So all the spunk has been drained from you.
Yeah, well...
Did someone drain your spunk?
Yeah.
We were let down very badly by the audience, actually.
Yeah, we went out with all our spunk, and they took a lot of our spunk, and I feel spunkless now.
We was full of it, to be honest with you. We went out there, and we were full of it, and then we emptied it all out there. And
all on the stage. Yes.
All on the stage, etc.
You were saying, Angelos, that the audience let you down. That's unusual.
Yeah, very
normally,
much so.
Well, tell me why. What happened? What did they do wrong?
Well, they all come along and, you know, we're doing our stuff, trying to really tap into the zeitgeist, you know?
Yeah. The zeitgeist, yeah.
Yes.
Mind you...
Let's try to tap into that. But the thing is, though, the people what was in the audience didn't know what was on the zeitgeist. So they weren't tapping into it either.
No.
There was a miscommunication.
Well, that's your job as the performers. That's your job to communicate.
No, it's not.
Hold on. No, mate, it ain't.
Well.
No. It's absolutely the audience to know what is on the zeitgeist.
Right.
And to be in on it as well. Otherwise, it's a losing game, isn't it?
We're very much more of a happening than the performance.
Yes. Can I read some of the emails from listeners
that bought
tickets
based
on your appearance on the show the other week?
Oh, God, okay. Go on.
Let me get these. Hang on a second. Let me get the emails up. Right. Steve says... Are you still there?
Yeah. Yes.
You're both
there.
Steve, what did you say?
What did Steve say?
I'm just trying to find the...
You're making this up.
Tell us what Matthew said. I know he was there.
Yeah. No, Jason, wasn't it?
Jason was there, yeah.
I didn't get an email from Jason. I've got an email from Steve. Steve says...
Go on, spit it out.
What did Steve say?
I'm just going to tell you. Steve said, okay. Ian,
what?
I travelled...
Okay.
Go on.
Go on then.
Hello?
Hello?
Is he gone?
I'm just choking on a zeitgeist. Steve says...
What did Steve say and how far did he come from?
I travelled over 150 miles on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Nottingham.
Yeah, that's from, about that. Yeah.
From the Nottingham area. Well done, that's good.
Yeah, there you go. What did he think? Did he like it?
To see Angelos and Barry.
Yeah, what did he make of it then?
What did you think of the show? What, out of 5 stars, what did he give us?
Yeah.
He usually does a star rating to Steve.
He's not given...
Well, go easy
normally does a star rating.
He's not given a star rating.
Oh.
Oh, it's unusual.
Yeah, for him. What did he like about the show?
Well, it would be... He doesn't go into specifics about what he liked, Barry.
Generally, what he liked.
You're an old from the East End. Yeah. What does pony mean?
Oh, pony and trap.
Yeah.
Well,
it means not bad.
How he got to the show is his own affair. What did he make of the actual show? Seems a curious way to get 150 miles on a pony and trap.
It must have taken him 4 days. He'd have been knackered when he got there, so he would have been in a bad mood.
No wonder,
He got there by car. He said the show was complete and utter pony.
Did Steve say what he was expecting?
Yeah.
He said he was expecting zeitgeisty stuff.
Yeah, and that's what he got.
And laughter, not an old man dressed up as the Pope.
It was Mother Teresa, so up yours.
Yeah, exactly. Up yours, exactly. Yeah. And also, there was zeitgeist stuff in there, because we'd done all the stuff about the Chinese.
Yes, we'd done stuff about ecology, about...
Interesting. Can I interrupt?
New Greenham Common, nuclear bombs, all this stuff.
All this stuff.
I've got an email.
NHS.
From a gentleman called Wang.
Oh, yeah, this is it, isn't it?
Oh, here we go. This
now,
goes,
finally, he'll back us.
Wang, well, I know he loved it.
He did love it.
He says he found it a bit racist, particularly the Chinese-y stuff.
Yeah, well, Wang would say that, because he's all like...
Yeah, he's very much like that, Wang.
He's very, very politically correct, he's Wang. Yeah. And that's a shame, because he needs to loosen up a bit.
He does. There's something wrong with Wang. There is.
Hello. Hello, Barry. I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm still here,
What's Wang been saying about us? It's damn cheeky, isn't it?
Well, he starts off...
Yeah.
Harrow. Which is where he came from, all the way from Harrow.
Yeah.
He just found the tone of it a little bit offensive.
So he must have been watching the wrong show.
Yeah, because we wasn't like that at all.
Not at all.
No.
Not one
thing. It wasn't like that at all. We were saying how much we were actually into the Chinese.
Okay. I'm just going to... Oh, hang on a second. We've just lost Barry, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but hang on.
Where's he gone?
He's back. Simon's called in to speak
Hello,
to you
Barry.
Guys. Simon, were you at the show on Friday?
No, I wasn't.
Why not?
I mean, it sounds like I missed the treat with all the Chinese stuff. Zeitgeist stuff, which, you know, Zeitgeist...
Where were you?
I'm really into...
He's asking you a question, Simon. Please answer
it. Go on.
Where were you on Friday?
The problem is, I know there are a lot of people listening. Well, a few people listening to this.
I mean, and, it's a simple question, Simon.
Well, okay.
Where were you on Friday night, Simon? What the hell is going on? Why can't you just answer the straight question?
You're going right round the houses.
Simon,
Come
on, mate.
I'll tell you where I was.
Making out you're some sort of secret agent.
Simon, where were you on Friday?
Where were you on Friday? Simon, very simple question.
Where the hell were you?
He's all enigmatic now, isn't he? He's all enigmatic. Yeah, I don't know where I was, etc.
Where were you on Friday, Simon?
Okay.
I've cut him off. I'm not having that.
A simple question.
Couldn't give us an answer.
Where was the man on Friday?
Nasty piece of work.
Oh, wasn't he? Ghastly individual.
Nasty piece of work.
While we recover from Simon, can I just play a couple of quick adverts and we come back? Is that okay, chaps?
Oh, God, all right.
Thank you.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. Joined with Barry from Watford.
Hello.
And Angelos, we don't quite know where you're from.
Leeston.
Huh?
Leeston.
Leeson.
Leeston.
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 Neasden.
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 Neeson.
Neasden.
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 Neasden. Neasden. That's Neasden.
Leesden.
You sound like you're... Leesden.
Leesden.
East of Eden.
No. Heads, knees and toes. Head, knees, them.
Shoulderton.
No, knees, them. Hold on, I'm just going to finish my pork ball.
Do you like it there?
Yeah, do you? Yeah, it's gone down now.
We sold out, though. A lot of
apparently you did, yes, and that's part of the problem.
A lot of people come to the show and it's sold out.
What was how many?
420.
Flipping heck.
420.
How much were the tickets?
Don't know.
About 20 quid, I think.
So 420.
Yeah, about £20, yeah.
Times, that's about £8,500.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've declared that to the authorities.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, you've cleared that. I phoned the police up and told them.
There were some people who paid for extra, like, VIP seats.
What did they get for that?
In a roped-off area. Well,
they're in a roped-off area.
Did you rope them off?
They're allowed to come in the dressing room meet us and we'll shake hands.
Okay.
Yeah, shake hands.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can watch us get changed as well. Yeah.
For another 20, because the sea is bottom. That's on top.
So,
yeah.
It was a disaster.
Yeah. But we made a lot of money, and someone got
loads of money.
Which is a boon.
We got...
Okay. There's a tour that's going to take place. When is that? September, October?
Yeah,
that's it. October, November.
Okay. And it's going all across the country?
Yeah.
What lessons? Let's start with you first, Angelos. What lessons have you learnt from Friday night for the rest of the tour?
I think we've probably learnt to pick our audience a bit better. Not only let in the people that really understand what's going on that around here nowadays. And if we do that, then we should have a show that we think we've got rather than the map that we put out on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Barry, apart from selecting your audience, what lessons have you learnt, Barry?
Well, I think it's as Dr. Jonathan Miller said when he was directing one of his operas.
Yeah.
And I'm quoting him verbatim. Don't come on with a load of muck and it's poorly rehearsed and then invite people back for an extra few quid to see a bottom.
No.
Because it will not sell.
It'll get out.
It'll get out.
It'll get out around the community.
Yeah. So we're going to try and write something that people will like would be a star. And then we're going to order...
We just tap into like more stuff that people
don't say
are into.
Don't say Zeitgeist.
We're not going to invite Steve, Wang, or Jason.
All right. Well, listen. It's been nice to talk to you again, guys. The podcast. I feel bad that you sound so down, Angelos.
No, don't worry about it, mate. I'm not down at all. I'm buzzing actually.
Okay. Could you sound like you're buzzing?
Yeah, I'm buzzing.
That's better. The podcast, where can people get hold of that?
On the computer.
Okay, that's a great plug.
It's on the iTunes called The Angelos and Barry Show.
Okay.
There's a lot of filthy muck.
Angelos and Barry Show.
Yeah. We last time you were on, Barry, we asked you a question. I don't think we got an answer.
Oh, go on, shoot.
From it. So I'm going to ask you the question now, if that's all right. Maybe we can get an answer.
Okay, don't.
And it might prompt a little bit of fun banter with the callers and stuff.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, go on.
Okay. Just asking Barry, Angelos.
Oh.
Well, you have a think. You might be able to come up with an answer for it.
Go on.
I definitely will.
Barry, if you had to enter an animal...
Okay.
Don't listen again.
What animal would you enter and why?
I think I definitely answered it.
I answered it. I said it's giraffe because it had a very tall neck and it wouldn't have to look over its shoulder and look at you with disdain. It'd be up there.
I think you did say that.
I did say that.
Yeah, I think you did.
You might have said that, actually. I did say that.
Oh, I've got a feeling you did say giraffe.
I did say giraffe. Yes. I can change it.
Go on, then. What would your second choice for an animal to enter be?
A chihuahua in suspenders. Hello?
How about that?
How about that?
I've had a little think about that, Barry, since the last show.
I have, yeah, most nights. Yeah.
Very specific answer. Angelos, what would you enter?
Dolphin.
Yeah?
Yeah, mate.
On porpoise?
Yeah, porpoise. The thing for me, Ian, is it's all about the chase. I think you'd be hard put to catch one of them.
Yeah.
So you really would have to want to do it.
Yeah.
So you'd have to give it a good old chase, you know?
Yeah.
And that would really get it for me, yeah.
All right. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure talking to one of you. I'm not gonna say which one.
Okie dokes.
Okay. Thanks, mate.
See you tomorrow, Angelos, for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll be there. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Bye, mate.
Bye. Ta-da, mate. Bye.
Okay. Hello. Bye. Hello?
Bye, Angelos. Oh, jeez.
Oh.
No.
Hello?
Bye-bye, Angelos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, bye.
Okay. Well, that was Angelos. And Barry there. I don't know. So if you want to give us a call, 0844 499 1000, well worth downloading their podcast. If you want to do that, you can get it on the computer. 0844 499 1000. I've written all of the ideas for the show, and I had quite a few ideas for the show today. And I've written them on my telephone, and my telephone is currently transmitting the show via the old Periscope. So I can't go and tell you what the ideas of the show are. Ah, but one thing we can do is Hopkins is back on the other side, so we can have a round of a hand of Hopkins bingo if you want. 0844 499 1000. We'll give you a call back. You tell us what you think she's talking about, and we'll have a cheeky listen. And if you're right, we give you £1 million. Don't Google it. That takes out all of the fun. Takes out all of the fun. You see, it's got to be a little bit of. Oh, hello. Who's this?
Is this me, Craig?
Is this you, Craig?
Hello, how are you?
Yes.
Excellent. I was going to offer a thing for tonight.
Yeah.
What you call it now? I can't think of the word now. I didn't think I'd come through straight away. You know, last week you had rubbish films with good actors.
Yes.
What about rubbish films that have stayed with you, even though they were rubbish?
Like what?
Well, The Purge. Did you ever see that?
No, what's The Purge?
It's like a fantasy America where for 24 hours all crimes are legal.
Oh, yeah, that looks good, that film.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was rubbish, but it's just stayed with me.
They made a sequel to that called The Purge 2, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be on Sky tonight, one of the channels.
Oh, there we go, beautiful. I heard it's rubbish, but it's quite good fun.
Yeah, and it just stays with you. Because they say, like, you think, oh, that would be ridiculous, all crimes are legal. And then you think, well, you know, what happens with cops shooting people and all that sort of nonsense.
Why do they make all crimes legal? What's the premise?
It's just all crimes are everything. There's no crime for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
In this concept, nobody does a crime because they can all do it on one day.
Yeah.
And,
I see. Yeah. I like that.
So it's like this sci-fi type idea.
Yeah.
And it's like some families are hiding in their house, and then there's somebody on the street that asks for help.
Yeah.
And it's like all different types
and
of society.
They kill them.
And then I just stays with me, and I just think about it all the time. It's crazy.
You found that quite upsetting, did you?
Yeah. But You think, oh, that could never...
Oh, I tell you what I watched at the weekend, right? Because it was on Amazon. And I'm caning my Amazon Prime because it runs out in 2 weeks and I'm not renewing. I've clicked the button that says I don't want to renew because you're suckers, right? And it was on Amazon. And I was talking about it the other day. And I was so excited when I found it. And I thought, I wonder if it's going to stand the test of time. I bet this looks rubbish now, right? And it didn't look rubbish. It looked flipping brilliant, right? It was such a good film.
Old film.
80s.
All right.
You're not going to guess.
You hadn't seen it?
I hadn't seen it since I was about... Oh, I must have been 17 when I saw it.
Oh, I can't. There's loads of good films.
Yeah.
I'll
give you a clue. It stars an American wrestler who sadly passed away recently. Come on.
American wrestler that passed away. I don't really know many wrestlers, let alone dead ones.
Yeah, well, it's...
Hulk Hogan's still going, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still going and filming it.
And he's well rich over that.
Yeah, I know, good for him. It's worth making a porno tape and having it stolen, being humiliated, and then going to court and getting all of that money. Almost
worth it. I can't think of anyone that's died wrestling-wise. No, it wasn't my thing, wrestling, in the 80s.
Mate, then you... will not have seen the excellent movie starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. They Live.
Oh yeah, I saw that when he put the glasses on.
Yeah, he put the glasses on.
Amazing.
And
the effects make it brilliant.
Here we go. Right, and we're going into two topics here.
He's a wrestler, is he?
Yeah, he was a wrestler. Did you know he always had his top off and he was like muscly? And it's got. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. 0844 499 1000. The best fight scenes in movies, right? Because it has got I think the black guy who becomes his mate. I think he's a wrestler as well. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
great film that was. Yeah.
But because there's a bit where they strip off in the middle of this alleyway. Right, and they have a massive, massive punch-up. And it goes on for absolutely ages. And there's a bit where the black guy keeps kicking Rowdy Roddy Piper in the nuts. Just kicks him in the nuts like about 7 times. It was brilliant. It's such a good film, right? So he's this like homeless guy, and he finds this box of sunglasses. And when he puts them on, he can see that... about a third aliens, of the people are aliens, and all the billboards where it's like an advert for a computer, it will say obey.
Yeah.
And then they go and spoiler alert, they go and break the transmitter. That he sacrifices his life to break the transmitter. That means the signal is broken, so everyone can see the aliens what they are. And there's a brilliant bit where there's an 80s woman riding on top of a man, right? And then the spell is broken, and she looks down, and it's an alien, and that's how the film ends.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Have you seen Kung Fu Fury on Netflix?
Yeah, it's good. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's brilliant, man.
As well.
It's a spoof of all that rubbish, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah, well. That's what reminded me of it.
So, right, what was your topic?
Rubbish films that stayed with you abnormally long.
Rubbish films, I'm going to write that down, that stayed with you abnormally... It's a long one, mate.
I know, I invented that. I didn't say that the first time.
Okay. Rubbish films that stay with you abnormally long and best fights. All right, Craig, nice one.
Marvellous.
Ta-ta.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. So we're just kind of just talking about stuff and seeing what happens, really. So we've got best fights. They Live was brilliant. I remember watching it as a kid. I thought I was younger when I watched it, but I think it was like 1989 it came out. So I must have been about 16, 17. And I was watching it. It was flipping brilliant. I thought, I'll give this 10 minutes and I won't be able to stomach it. It was so good. It was so good. And just a ridiculous fight scene, but a brilliant fight scene. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Kath, do you want to come in? I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind with this book. I've been reading this book. Sitting that one there. I've been.
What a mind to blow.
So I've been in the hospital. I've been doing a lot of reading, right? Yeah. And I've been in, because Mum's been in hospital all weekend. It's been long, literally. I mean, I was there for 5 or 6 hours today. About 7 hours yesterday. 7 hours eating puddings, eating a lot of puddings.
I saw, yeah.
The puddings have been the main thrill for me. And, you know, she's been out of it for the last couple of days, so just been sat there, did a bit of writing. Oh, I wrote my piece. Remember Ram Album Club?
Yeah.
We had Martin from Ram Album Club came on, and it's this thing where they get celebrities, in inverted commas, people, to listen to classic albums that they've never heard and then write about it. And I can't give any... I think my one comes out this weekend, right? I think it's this Friday or Saturday, or maybe Sunday. And I have been putting off... to be honest, I'd forgotten about it. And I got an email from Martin on Friday saying, don't forget, we need your piece by next Friday.
Did you fess up or did you go, oh, yeah?
And I went, oh, yeah, no, I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working on it. Hastily typed up something. We'll talk about it more next week, because I don't want to give any clues, but let's just say Martin on Saturday, this is probably breaking the rules, but very kindly gave me the option of changing that album if I wanted to. And I said, no, I don't want to cheat. I don't want to bend the rules. Mm-hmm. We're going to stick with this album. And I wrote what I think is a very funny piece. I think it's a good piece.
It's unusual, though.
It's unusual. It is unusual. So we'll see how that goes. So I did that. That was Friday and Saturday. I wrote that. And they got Wi-Fi there. You're not supposed to stream films. Oh, man alive. I was down
there. They got Wi-Fi where?
In the hospital, of course.
You're kidding me.
Of course. Why would they not?
Because you're supposed to be ill in there.
Yeah, they're supposed to provide you with the facilities to get better. Wi-Fi, of course, makes you get better.
It's almost worth wagging it, isn't it? Getting put in hospital so you can just use the facilities.
Mum has just moved off of the intensive care unit, excuse me, about 2 hours ago. I got the phone call. And boy, oh boy, I'm glad. Because it's amazing in there. And she's going to be in a proper ward tomorrow, which I'm sure I will find incredibly annoying. It'll be completely different. But, man, the things I saw in that ward... Man, the things I saw in that ward, in terms of sick people and grief, you know, getting ready to grieve families. You know, it's intensive care. People die there. Mm-hmm. And there was a poor lad in the bed next to us who looked so poorly. And obviously the family very upset. And you just think, flipping heck, everything is so... And he was a young lad. Everything is so precious and so fragile and so delicately... balanced. You know, I don't know what happened there. I don't know what happened to anybody else there. You know, it was they were great in keeping everyone very private and very separate and stuff, but flipping heck, you know. And some, you know, you go in the next day and someone would not be there anymore, and you're thinking, well, did they get better or did they die? You know, it was heartbreaking. And it really does. All of the nurses there and the doctors were just incredible. Again, I suspect now we're on a normal ward. Things may change slightly in that kind of bureaucratic way that hospital wards often do. Here's a thing that's been sat... I did this thing in this... 0844-499-1000, by the way, is the telephone number. If anyone wants to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. Here's the thing, right? So Mum was very, very ill. She was dying. Right? I mentioned this last week. Mum was dying. She was going to die.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were preparing me for that. And then they fixed her. They fixed the thing that was killing her. Right? And Mum's ill anyway with MS. And she's had a lot of bad luck in terms of her life, basically, in as much as my dad was, was a bit of an idiot. And in terms of her illness, you know, and all her money is gone because she's in this care home and she's blah, 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 blah. And there's not very much that she can do for herself at all. She has to be, she can't get out of bed, she can't dress herself, feed herself, all of this stuff. And I have a very strong suspicion that these last 5 days will have made her MS worse. You know, by the very nature of what the trauma that she has been through and the degenerative effects of multiple sclerosis, I suspect that, she is a lot worse than she was in terms of her tremor. She tremors a lot. And her speak, she can't really speak very well. It's partly because she's not eating or anything since Wednesday.
Have they adjusted her medication stuff?
They're doing all that. And she got to have a little bit of a drink today for the first time since Wednesday. Imagine that. She's got a tube up her nose feeding her and all that stuff. She's on drip. Anyway, but I suspect that she will not recover to the position of health, in inverted commas, that she was in before she went into hospital. I suspect that she'll be worse. And here's the thought, right, when they told me that my mum was going to die, and I'm saying this, there was a strong chance she was going to die. I didn't say she's going to die, it was a strong chance. And I'm saying this because I mentioned this to a friend with full of guilt and shame, and he went, oh, don't be so stupid, man. I'm sure loads of people think that, right? When they said there's a chance she might die, very upset and a little cry, and part of me thought, thank goodness. Do you know what I mean? Okay. And I thought, thank goodness, that'll be a relief for her. And then when they said, oh, she's not going to die, we fixed her, I thought, fantastic, that's brilliant. And a little part of me went, oh, dear. Isn't that...
No.
I know, it's not... I don't know what it is, but it's...
I'll tell you what it is. It's human. You've watched her suffer for a long time.
I feel very guilty saying it. Very guilty saying it. And years ago, I had a conversation with her about, suicide and stuff. And I said, have you ever thought about it? She said, yeah, I've thought about it. And I've spoken to people about it. But I don't think I want to do it. And had she asked me to do it, I would have done it. Mm. I would have done it. So my dad, when my dad was dying, if he'd said, I can't stand this anymore, son, put a pillow over me. I would have done it. I would have done it. And it's weird. I don't know. I was going to read this bit from this book, which will blow your mind in a second, will actually blow your mind. But I just thought I would say that because I've been... I'll tell you why I'm saying it, to get it off my chest, because I feel guilty about it. I feel really guilty about it. And it's not because I begrudge her or resent her, and I've had so much fun. The fun is the wrong word. I have had bursts of pleasure being sat next to her for hours. Because I told you, I was reading that Danny Baker book to her. And it's all effing and jeffing. And she was finding that hilarious, the foul language and stuff in it. And I had to whisper every time I got to an F word. I had to lower my voice a little bit. I'm reminded of something else. We'll go to the break in a second, sorry. I do resent her a little bit for various kinds of things. I think that's natural to resent your parents.
Well, yeah.
But why am I saying this? I don't know why I'm saying this. I just feel I have to get it off my chest. There was a part of me that was relieved when I was told that she might die, and there was a part of me that was disappointed when I was told that she was not going
to
die.
I think that will become as no surprise to anyone who's watched someone, with either a long-term illness or,
It's nuts, isn't it?
You know what happened with my gran?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she wasn't herself anymore, and there would be flashes of the old her. And I used to go and there was a point at which I didn't feel like I wanted to phone her because she didn't care. She didn't really know who I was. I didn't know what to say, and I realised I was kind of doing it. I was trying to save myself.
Yeah.
Everyone gets that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting it. It's hard. It's hard watching someone that you love go through that.
I tell you what, man, life is flipping hard work. And again, I'm drawn back to that Miranda Sawyer book, and we'll get her on the show out of time. It comes out in June. It's about midlife crises, but it's not a ho, 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 ho. Aren't midlife crises funny? It's like a real proper, she deconstructs her midlife crises and talks to all kinds of people about theirs and what they went through and why they're going through it. It's brilliant. And reading it when you're sat next to someone, sat next to your mother who you think is dying. Flipping heck, man. It was a trippy, I believe, is a phrase the kids use. But it's not... Oh, I don't know. There's been a lot of thinking this weekend.
But you know what it is? And the way I get over or come to terms with it, you don't get over it, is that this hard stuff is the downside to loving somebody, and the only way you can get around that is by never feeling that for anyone, and you don't want to live like that.
0844 499 1000. Paul, stay there. Come to you after this.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Yes, Paul.
Yes, Ian. How are you, bud?
I'm good, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
Mate, very, very similar to your situation with your mum. My mum's in a bad way, but she's not happy with life, but only because you can't physically get on with life,
Yeah.
And NHS is great for your mum, and that's fantastic. What's happened, the situation there was brilliant, and that's it. But unfortunately, my mum, she can't get cured or get help she needs because, at the end of the day, she's in the situation she is. And she has to accept that, right? And we can only support her, is what I'm saying to you, mate. So,
yeah,
it's a shame.
It's hard work, this life thing, isn't it?
Big time. But what I say to her is, I say, Mum, I'm 36 years old now. You know, you're in your 70s. We're all getting older. You know, you've smoked all your life, Mum. You know, yourself a bit as well. But then, you know, when it comes towards the end of life, as in getting to your late old age pensioner sort of style, I've got a 4-year-old son. I mean, my 4-year-old son, Zach, he's her life. And that's, in my opinion, what keeps her going. Yeah. That's my opinion, that is. I can't take the boys in to see my mum
because she looks rough as, you know. She's got all tubes because they took some of the tubes out today, but she's got tubes up her nose and she had tubes in her neck. So I don't really want the boys to see that. And also,
what can we do, bud?
Well, yeah,
she probably wouldn't want them seen like
no,
that.
No, exactly. And also, they would even on their best behaviour, she'd find it very, very tiring, which is not the thing. Paul, thank you very much indeed, mate. I appreciate that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I'm going to blow your mind, right? I've been reading some ages ago. Someone suggested we get an author on called Will Storr, right? And I'd read one of Will's books years and years ago called Will Storr versus the Supernatural. I nicked the title when I was doing my tour, Ian Lee versus Radio.
Right.
I nicked it from that.
Loosely.
Yeah, there are other people that have done, you know, similar things, but I nicked it from that. And Will Storr versus the Supernatural is brilliant. He's kind of like, I'm going to use lazy shorthand, which if I were to use it, I would be too embarrassed to use it to his face. He's kind of like a John Ronson. He's an investigative journalist, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes round, and his books are brilliant. And someone said, oh, you should get him on the show. And I thought, well, I've only read one of his books, so I don't know his stuff, his oeuvre well enough to get him on. So I'll get some more of his books. I bought a couple more of his books. And I finished the Miranda Sawyer book. And this was the next one on the pile, The Heretics, Adventures with Enemies of Science, right?
Oh, blimey.
Oh, it's in half good. So he's coming on. I messaged him yesterday, and he's going to come on. He knew who I was and stuff. Now, where was the bit? Oh, right. Hang on. Hang on a minute. Here we go. Right, so he's talking about brains and how brain... Do you know how your brain works? I don't know how my brain works.
Sometimes doesn't mine.
No, well, exactly. Right.
Go on.
Listen to this. I was reading it and my eyes started going blurry because my brain was analysing itself, right? This goes on a bit, but it's worth... 0844 499 1000, by the way. So he's talking about brains and stuff. Where's the best place? Up to 90% of what you're seeing right now is constructed from your memories.
What?
Practitioners of lucid dreaming know how convincing these mental models of reality are. When writer Jeff Warren was trained to wake up during a dream... Have you ever had a lucid dream?
Yeah.
I had a dream the other week that me, you and my mate Conan were in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Festival... And we were puffing away on a vape, and I was having a pint of beer. It was lovely.
Gosh.
Lovely.
But the best thing is when you realise you're doing something naughty in a dream,
yeah.
But you realise it's a dream, so you can go the whole hog.
So you get one in every hole.
Might as well, eh?
Every hole's a goal in a lucid dream.
It's not your fault.
No STIs in dreams. Are there? Maybe if you've ever woken up...
It would be in my dreams.
If you've ever woken up with an STI, or as I used to call them, an STD... because of practicing your sleep. 084. Well, we're in your dream, not necessarily your sleep. In your dream. 0844 499.
That includes clematis, according to my mother.
Oh, don't talk about that. I've never seen one. Oh, you mean? All right. During a dream by experts Dr. Stephen LeBurge of Stanford University, his mind's projection of the room that he had gone to bed in was so accurate he didn't realise he was still asleep.
Oh, yeah.
It was my room, seamlessly modelled by the brain, he writes in Head Trip. I could see the outlines of furniture from under the bottom edge of the mask, feel my bed underneath me, hear Kelly's breathing, everything was perfect, it even smelt like my room.
Mm-hmm.
And I only just recently realised that smelt doesn't have a T in it, unless you're smelting some metal.
Oh, doesn't it?
smelled.
I think you can.
Can you?
Yeah, I think
it's
you can.
It's just smelled.
Like dreamt and dreamed. I think you can.
Does dreamt have a T in
with
it?
With a P as well.
Dreamt.
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
But it feels wrong.
This experience is so common in students of lucid dreaming that Dr. Labarge teaches a variety of reality tricks, such as looking at a clock second hand to see if it is behaving predictably, to enable them to check if their eyes are open or closed. That's like in that film, Transference, Insurgence, Intransigence.
Coherence.
No. The one where Leonardo DiCaprio enters a dream, then he enters another dream in the dream.
I haven't seen it, but that's in...
Indefatigable.
No.
That's a good name for a film, guys. If anyone wants to make a movie called Indefatigable. Indefatigable. In My Dreams, starring Leo DiCaprio. It's good, that film, whatever it is. Have you seen it?
No, but I've heard a lot of people sounding thick talking about it.
I watched it on a tiny telly in a hotel in Australia.
Right.
And it was brilliant, but I'd like to watch it on the big screen.
Yeah. Why? Because
it's very. He goes into a dream within a dream. A dream. He goes into one dream, then goes into a dream in that dream, and then a dream in that dream. So he's three dreams in.
Blimey. In.
Disputably.
No.
Indeniable.
No.
In defence of De Rose. In the name of De Rose.
I've seen that.
We all have these models. When we dream and it feels real, it is because our models of reality are so detailed and textured and perfect, it might as well be. It's all out there. The sights, the noises, the textures and touches and scents. Our brains contain worlds, and it is mostly those worlds we are seeing when we are awake. Now, prepare to have your mind blown.
Go on.
If you're thinking that you must be misunderstanding all this because it's just too spooky, too grotesque, too much like a disturbing science fiction film, then I am sorry to tell you that you are not. Ed, there's a phone call, please. Thank you. The truth really is this weird. We think of our eyes as open windows and our ears as empty tubes. Mm. We experience the out there as if we are a tiny homunculus.
Okay.
Gazing from holes in our heads at a world that is flooded with light, music and colour. But this is not true. Here we go. Here we go. The things you are seeing right now are not out there in front of you, but inside your head. This is all fact.
Right.
Being reconstructed in more than 30 sites across your brain. The light is not out there. The objects are not out there. The music is not out there. A violin has no sound without a brain to process it. A rose has no petal. A rose petal has no colour. It is all a recreation, a vision, a useful guess about what the world might look like that is built well enough that we are able to negotiate it successfully.
I feel a bit sick.
Yeah, I know. It makes my eyes hurt saying this. Bear with me. I don't normally read on the radio. Of course, real versions of everything are out there, but not the versions you are seeing.
The one that's pointing at me now.
It's the thing, right, I'm wearing a green shirt, and to me this looks green, and to you it looks green, but I don't know what green looks like to you.
Mm. Yeah.
I know what green looks like to me. It looks like this.
Yeah.
And green looks like this to you, but I don't know what green looks like to you.
So it's like we've accepted. Right, yeah.
These are merely your brain's impressions of how the world appears. Our eyes, skin, tongue and ears receive information, not as pictures, touches, tastes or notes, but as pulses of electricity. It's like being in the flipping Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is all we really know, the pulses. Your brain translates those pulses into a recreation of reality that it can sensibly interact with. It is not known how all this disparate electrical data coalesces into the experience we all have of viewing some kind of inner television screen, but we do know there is no television in your head, no single area, that is, which all the neural wiring leads to. We also know that the brain has a great many slights and shortcuts and mirage-generating powers in its arsenal, and that it somehow manages to bring them together into one central illusion, that reality and your place within it is simple, understandable and clear. Under its spell, you have become, in the words of neuroscientist Professor Chris Frith, the invisible actor at the centre of the world. So what he's saying is, right, oh, there's another bit. We're going to go to break. There's one more bit where it says, here we go. As you, they talk about a guy who can hear for the first time, and he couldn't understand. He couldn't, when they fixed his hearing, he couldn't hear anything. He just felt vibrations, and then over a period of months, his brain translated those vibrations into sound.
Yeah.
As you might expect, it takes time for the brain to take its multi-sensory barrage of pulses and to process it into its grand illusion. Estimates vary, but the most dramatic that I came across had it that we are all living half a second in the past. The now we appear to be experiencing is another illusion, a prediction that the brain calculates once it's received the already slightly out-of-date information from the senses. If a ball is thrown into the air, your brain predicts it will be slightly closer by the time you see it and therefore moves it to the correct place, enabling you to catch it. Boom! Sick. Isn't that nuts? That's like two pages. I mean, this book is such a good writer. He's such a good writer. I'm excited that I've kind of only just recently re-stumbled on him, because it means I've got quite a few books to catch up on. But and I've now my head literally hurts from thinking that what I am seeing, it's not like that. My brain is filling in the blanks. It says when some people go blind in one eye, or they lose a bit of their vision in a certain space, the brain sometimes compensates by, like, drawing cartoon characters. Oh, God. Or, you know, just filling in the blanks. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know what this means to any of us, but I think basically what it means is we're all screwed.
Talk radio.
It's all getting a bit heavy, guys, and I don't mind that. One more bit I want to read from this book about colours and sight. It's incredible. Will Storr, the Heretics, Adventures of the Enemies of Science. It's such a good book. He's going to come on the show maybe in the next couple of weeks. 0844 499 1000. We can talk about that. We can talk about the hospital. We can talk about Angelos. We'll play Katie Hopkins bingo as well after 11. She's on the other side. What do you think the old stirrer is banging on about tonight?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. We'll play Katie Hopkins bring a bit. I'm reading. I've been reading to my mum, and I quite enjoy reading. Indulge me. We're reading from Will Storr's book, The Heretics. Right, it's such a good book. There's two bits I want to read, but they're quite long. Oh, do you know what? I don't care. I'm going to read them. Vision is of such importance to the construction of your virtual realm that one third of the human brain is devoted to its processing. And yet your eyes themselves are nowhere near as good as you've been led to believe. Hold out your arm and look at your thumbnail. That's about the extent to which your sight is clear, coloured and detailed. Beyond 10 degrees from this vivid centre, your vision is blurred, wow, black and white, and only able to detect potentially important information. But you think that you can see all around your thumb, don't you? You think you can see everything around you. You can't, right?
Oh, no.
It achieves the effect of showing you a detailed hole by building it up surreptitiously. Your eyes dart at high speed around the scene that you're in and takes multiple high-definition snapshots. You are fooled into thinking your gaze is steady, still and under your conscious control. But in fact, these saccades, which are the fastest movements made by the human body, happen up to 5 times a second. So 5 times a second, your eyes moving all over the place, filling in the blanks. They are sensitive to change. And from what it shows you, you don't notice it. It edits out the jarring motion, right? It also overlays a series of magnificent special effects, including colour and movement, filling in your blind spot and adding depth, generating a 3D version of what neuroscientists claim we only see as 2.5D. Right, this is the last bit I'm going to read, right? Only because it blew my flipping mind. Mm-hmm. Right. Let me get some appropriate music for this.
Trump and indeed.
Oh, no, Hopkins. That's Hopkins. That's for Hopkins bingo. That's for later on, guys. Sorry, guys. We got a bit carried away there. This is...
I don't like it when it catches me by surprise like that.
No. There we go. Why don't you play now? There we go. Right. So this is the last bit. This is about colour.
Right, go on.
The world appears to be coloured because in the back of each eye, in an area of just 1 square millimetre, we have 3 varieties of cone that interpret incoming visual information as either red, blue or green. Every colour you will ever see is a blend of this triumvirate of basics. We assume that this is simply what the world looks like, but yet again, this is a lie. The atoms that make everything up have no colour. There are no colours inside the brain. Light waves are not coloured. So where are the colours? They are another illusion created in specific cells in the brain that have been located, so I'm informed, in the visual area of the... And it goes into the... A fish, such as a skate, has no colour cones at all, and so experiences the world in black and white. If you now feel superior to the skate and assume that you, the special human, have access to the full and fantastic panoply of shades that make up true reality, then I'm afraid that I have to tell you that some birds and insects have 4, 5, or even 6 colour receptors compared to our 3. Their experience of the multi-coloured world is impossible for any human to even to begin to imagine. Isn't that nuts? So there are creatures out there, there are birds that see more colours than we can even see. Now, when you know that, right, when you know that everything you are looking at, and it goes into hearing, everything you are hearing and you are seeing and you are feeling and you are tasting is made up in your head, then doesn't that make anything possible? Anything is possible. Ghosts could be possible.
No.
Yes, but ghosts could be possible because...
But there could be a colour we can't see.
There is a colour that we cannot see. At least one colour that we as humans will never experience. It was in the Danny Baker book, actually. I was reading it to my mum. He wanted to be colourblind, right? And he tried to fake the colourblind test at school. Those tests are weird, the psychedelic numbers, right? And it turns out he was colourblind, but he wasn't colourblind. But he met somebody one day that was colourblind. And apparently when it's snowy weather, they used to play football with an orange football, right? And this guy said that when... the football was going over the snow, he could see the football. But if some of the snow melted and the orange football was going over the green grass, the ball disappeared. Right? So what other things are out there that we can't see, but, like, the thrush can see? Do you know what I mean? You know, and they, you know, sometimes they say that... and I suspect this is bullshine, but... that animals are more receptive to spirits, right? But supposing, and not necessarily ghosts, you know, but supposing they are seeing something that we can't see because our eyes aren't built for us to see it. I'm talking interdimensional travel, guys.
You totally are. This is the sort of conversation we should be having at Edinburgh, having smoked something really
bizarre. This is the sort of conversation we should be having at 2 o'clock in the morning when we're starting to come down from the LSD. Craig's on the line. Good evening, Craig.
Yeah, sorry to call back.
That's all right, Craig. Literally no one else is bothered, so it might as well just be us.
All right, then I'll relax a bit.
Yeah, go on.
It might be this that I read. Remember before I phoned in about dreaming and looking at the watch face?
Oh, yeah, you did mention something, and then you went on about the Jews, so I kind of lost track. But yes, go on.
Oh, don't bring that up again.
Sorry, boss.
They're free now.
Yep.
And also, tying in, I might have read something. I don't think I've read this guy's book, but I've maybe read someone that summarised it or something.
Yeah.
But we're blind for 2 hours in a day.
No, it's 4 hours in a day.
Is it four
let's,
hours?
Let's say three. Let's split the difference. Right. Catherine, why are we blind for 3 hours in a day, not when we're asleep?
I don't know.
Blinking. You add up all the blinking, that's between 2 and 4 hours a day that you're blind.
But
when you blink, right, here, and this is it, when you blink, you can carry on walking
driving.
And driving when you blink because your brain is filling in the gaps for you.
But if you pan a video camera, you've got to do it really slowly, yeah? Like in wedding videos. But our mind does it, and you can change focus and all that.
Yeah.
What your mind is doing is blanking out the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 2 hours, our eyes move around the room, and it's blind to our brain.
When you get a new video camera and you're not... you've not seen the videos yet, don't you find that you use the camera like you use your eyes? My dad's videos that he shoots make me feel sick because he looks around like he does with his head, you know, with his video camera. And it's like it's awful. It's like riding a waltzer.
And, like, if you have a hair or a piece of skin sticking on your nose, you can see it, whereas you ignore your nose. So you can always notice if something's stuck on your nose.
You're making me look at my nose now. You're right.
Yeah, but your nose is always there, so you just block it out in your mind.
Can you see your nose?
Yeah, I can. I can see one side of it. Yeah.
And it was on that show, Duck Quacks Don't Echo, on Sky. Babies, for an hour or so, because we see upside down, it takes an hour or so for a newborn to actually, a new seeing baby, to notice that when they move their left arm, it's their right side of their eye. They see that, if you understand.
I do understand. I understand that the more you think about this, the more insane you are likely to go.
I love all this.
I don't, because it is actually giving me a proper, genuine headache.
And how does a telly have red, blue and green to make all the colours?
What do you mean?
In the old tellies, when you went right up to the screen...
Yeah.
It wasn't red, blue and yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Red, blue and green. But that made yellow.
Well, they must have made... they must have made the green.
If you look at an old telly, it's light has got red, yellow...
Yeah.
But tellies, it doesn't. I'd never understood that.
Adrian says, and I trust Adrian, he tweets good stuff.
Mm.
Right. Goldfish see all sorts of extra light waves, infrared, etc. They can see the beams from your TV remote control. Flipping it!
Doesn't do them any good, though, does it?
And dogs can only watch telly because we've all got HD tellies now. They couldn't watch the old CRT telly.
Hang on a minute. You're telling me that my dog Sophie couldn't watch our old Grundig, but new dog can watch the Sharp Acuos.
It would have been a strobe to her if she'd watched an old telly. You know, like when you photo video a telly, a strobe.
Yeah.
That's what dogs see with their eyesight.
How do we know that?
I guess they asked a dog.
There we go, Craig. Thank you very much indeed. It really is mind-bending stuff, this, isn't it? This is why books should be banned, because it gets people thinking.
Mm.
This is the brain, and it's that weird thing, right? We've all got one.
Some of us have.
And we haven't got a clue how it works. Haven't got a clue how it works or what the hell it does. 0844 499 1000. As Simon, stay there, come to you after this.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. We're all kind of blowing our minds a little bit, guys, with this Will Storr book. We'll get him on. He's such a good writer, and whoever reminded me of him, thank you very much. A few of you did, actually. So thank you very much for that. Let's go to Simon. Yes, Simon.
Hey, how you doing, Ian? You all right?
I'm all right, Simon. What you got for us, boss?
Right, while you're down the rabbit hole, my mate blew my mind the other day with this thing. Have you heard of the Mandela Effect?
The Mandela Effect, no.
Yeah, it's named after, because a lot of people thought that Nelson Mandela had died in the 80s, and then he was still alive, obviously, died 2013.
Yeah.
But there's all these little imperfections where people think it's like a parallel universe, and there's like a little glitch, do you remember people talk about the Lindbergh baby? They refer to that as like this missing baby that was never found.
The Lindbergh baby? No.
Yeah, it was like this sort of, I think they were politicians, their baby went missing and everyone blamed them for killing it, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Kat's nodding, you remember this, do you?
Yeah, wasn't that in a Bronson book?
Yeah, I think so, but everyone believes that it was never found, but in this time stream, apparently, if you Google it now, the baby was actually found, like, 12 weeks later, and, like, you know the line in Forrest Gump, life is like a box of chocolates?
Yeah.
It's actually life was like a box of chocolates, if you Google that as well, and there's all these little weird things.
Hang on a second. You're trying to tell me that there are two different versions of Forrest Gump existing in two different timelines, and somehow they got switched.
Yeah, or something like that.
To misquote a film doesn't mean that necessarily that we've slid into another parallel universe.
No, it's not all film quotes. I can't remember any off the top of my head right now, but he went through a whole list of these things. Like, you know, remember in Tiananmen Square where everyone remembers that guy standing in front of the tank and being run over?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he wasn't run over. He walked away quite... You can look at it on Google now and look at the video. A lot of people remember him being run over by the tank. He was never actually run over.
So it's our own brains lying to us. Well, memories.
Well, my mate, the conspiracy theorist, the one that who put me onto all this, his excuse is that we've been shifted into a parallel universe, but the only thing that's not affected is memory. So we're seeing all this new stuff, but we're remembering the older versions or some shit.
That sounds like an excuse from someone who's always misquoting films and will never accept that they're wrong.
good point. Anyway, yeah, if you Google it, you can explain it more than I can, but
well,
it's quite interesting.
Hang on, the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Let me have a little... something just came up, and then I got rid of it. The Mandela effect... All right, well, it doesn't mention... All right. All right. It doesn't mention shifting dimensions, right? The Mandela effect is a term where a group of people all misremember the same detail. I'm getting goosebumps. The Mandela effect is a term where a group of people all misremember the same detail, event or physicality. It's named after the instance in which a large group of people all shared the same memory that Nelson Mandela died prior to his actual death, usually sometime in the
1980s. That's it, yeah.
There are images for the Mandela effect.
What's the other one? A lot of people remember that there was this painting of Henry VIII with eating a turkey leg. I don't know if you remember that or something.
I don't know if I was in that time zone with you, buddy.
Well, apparently it doesn't exist anyway in this one.
I don't remember a painting. I know that that's the standard issue Henry VIII, isn't it?
What, with the turkey leg?
Yeah.
Well, that painting doesn't exist. It's a memory. You try and find it.
Mate, there's a website, MandelaEffect.com.
Oh, blimey, here we go.
There you go.
Down the rabbit hole.
Alternate memories / alternate realities. Question, does accepting the Mandela effect increase slides? In discussions with friends...
Sliders, that's how he explained it. Do you remember the TV show?
Oh, it's the Love Sliders. It was such a good programme.
Like that. That's how he explained it.
In discussion with friends, a question has been raised. When someone accepts the idea that the Mandela effect is real, does this reduce one's resistance to it, and does this result in more frequent slides from one reality to another? Oh, flippin' heck, man.
But there's all these videos of these, like, dramatic American bloggers and stuff doing their own little videos of music.
Oh, there's
stuff.
Loads of latest memories.
It's quite believable.
At the start... this is tomorrow sorted in the hospital on the Wi-Fi. At the start of 2016, I asked people to use the contact form to let me know about alternate memories they didn't see in articles or on my memories list and related comments page. Recently reported memories include...
What?
Johnny Quest or Johnny Quest... One has an H, one doesn't have an H.
Oh, that's a bit of a stretch.
As you can see from the DVD set from the first season, illustrated at the right, and then it goes on to... man alive. There are loads of things I remember happening that no one else remembers happening.
You slid.
Flipping heck, man. I've got to blow my nose, I'm so upset.
Alright, well, I'll leave you with that. That's a whole morning sorted.
Simon,
anyway.
Mate, thank you very much indeed. That's tomorrow's hospital Wi-Fi getting caned. Anyone else feeling uncomfortable? I mean,
I'm starting to wonder whether my mum's memory is really bad or she's just a real slider.
Well, that was the rumour. As.
Good evening, Ian, as you were.
As you were, sir. Stand easy, stand down.
As you were. Speaking of minds being blown, I'm watching you on Periscope as I speak to you on the phone, and it's making my brain melt a little bit.
Why is that, buddy?
Because there's a slight delay and it's confusing me, and it looks like I'm watching you in another dimension saying different things.
How, someone saying, remember when 10 till 1 on the radio was rubbish? how big is the delay on Periscope?
I don't know. I think it's only, you're doing that thing now. I think it's only a few seconds.
Oh, what? Did you just see me doing what? Tell me when you can see what I'm just doing now.
Right.
Anything?
No.
Okay.
Ah, yes, there it is.
Okay. There we go. You got that. So it's about 15
looted
seconds.
Looted me. I salute you too, sir.
Thank you, sir. What have you got for us, Az, or is that it?
Well, sir, I heard you mention people who are colourblind, and I'd like to put it out there that I am red-green colourblind. So
red-green.
If you'd like to ask me anything about my disability, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, well, what shirt am I wearing on Periscope, then? Am I topless to you?
Dear. Is it green?
Well, yeah, but what are you seeing? I mean, is it just some greens you can't see? All greens?
No, it's some greens and browns look confusing to me. I can't tell the difference between some greens and browns, between
okay.
some blues and purples. And the orange, throwing an orange on the grass does indeed make it invisible.
Oh, yeah! That's what I'm talking about. And how many women or gentlemen, I don't know which way you swing, how many people have you managed to get into bed with by being disabled?
It's hard to say. Because I can't tell the colours properly, I don't know what species they were.
Wowzers. Wowzers.
Yes, exactly. It is actually that serious.
Well, are you actually colourblind, Az? Are you jerking my invisible green chain?
No, seriously, I'm red-green colourblind. At school, for the first few years, no one believed me, and they just thought I was sick and I hadn't learnt my colours yet.
Yeah.
But then I did the funky test, and I couldn't see any of the numbers, and they finally believed me.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. For the first couple of years of you calling this show, Az, I'm not going to believe you, and I'm going to think you're thick.
Okay.
And then in 2018, I'm going to accept that you're colourblind, and I'll apologise, and I feel really bad for teasing you for 2 years. Is that okay?
That seems perfectly reasonable to me, yes.
Thank you, Az. Nice one. Let's go to Bruce. Hello, Bruce.
Oh, just in time for the Pee Wee Herman music.
You've
been
just
very much.
In time, Bruce. I saw you were coming, so I got it queued up, buddy.
Who doesn't want to do a funky test, by the way? That sounds like an amazing thing to do.
Well, you remember those tests, don't you? It was the swirly psychedelic numbers, man. And you could, you know, as Danny Baker says in his book, he was so disappointed the numbers leapt out at him.
It was the test that only boys seemed to fail.
boys are more likely to be colourblind than what can only be described as girls. I don't know why. I've never met anyone who failed that test. I've never shook the hand of a colourblinder. Couldn't be a pilot, and I don't think you can join the army.
No, there are certain things that you can't do. I've actually got a friend who's red-green colourblind. It wasn't the last caller, by the way. I've never met that guy.
No, lucky you.
But, yeah, especially like when he watched football and stuff like that, he said it was affected. And, there are a list of things that you cannot, like, try and do as a profession because of it. But I don't see it as being a disability. I see it more as, like, a mutant power of some kind.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Go on.
But no, that was it. I mean, what I actually phoned up for was a couple of things. The first one was because I heard about Forrest Gump, I left on the phone about the phrase, life is like a box of chocolates. And you're looking to have your mind blown tonight.
Yeah.
Do you know why that line is said?
Well, he's holding a box of chocolates, isn't he?
He is holding a box of chocolates, but think about what he says. He says, life is like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get. You do if you read the map.
Well, that's exactly the point, Kath. You hit the nail on the head. In America, you don't get a little card telling you
Yeah!
And so all of a sudden, that makes sense. But
the president of that chocolate mapless country has the gall to come over here and tell us how to vote in the EU referendum when they haven't even got maps in their milk tray.
Sort your dairy box out,
this
mate.
This is ridiculous.
It baffles me. I mean, who would... We have Revels, and we all know to avoid a bag of Revels.
Yeah.
In case we get the coffee one, yeah, or the orange one.
I think you can learn to read a Revel.
You can the size and shape.
Guys, I've got some good news for you. I eat a lot of Revels. The coffee and the orange ones have gone.
What?
They are no longer part of the Revel family. It's only the good stuffs. Oh, don't cry, Bruce.
I'm laughing.
It's only the good ones in there. The fake Malteser, the chocolate raisin,
the toffee one. That's my favourite.
The solid chocolate one, and I think there's one more.
Yeah, there was always like a button, wasn't there?
Yeah, the button, chocolate button. There we go. Here we go. That's it. So, Bruce, you dig into those Revels, buddy. You enjoy yourself. The sweet I don't get. It's the Mars bar for lazy people. Are they called Mars Planets or something?
Oh yeah.
I don't get that.
It's the separate ingredients for Mars bars in different bowls, right? If I want the separate ingredients, I'll bite the top off the Mars bar off and then I'll suck the bottom. Mm-hmm. Cheeky.
And these, would you not try and get the three components and just eat them all at the same time anyway?
Yeah. It's complete nonsense. We need to ban this sick filth, I think. Mm. Bruce?
No, I'm with you.
Excellent stuff, mate. Thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000. I'm reminded, okay, that today my mum was well enough to have access to a television for a little bit, right? This is what I remembered. And I got to see a TV programme that you lot will have seen before. I don't really watch TV anymore, and my life is so much better for it. But I got to see a bit of a TV programme that I'd never seen before. I think you've seen it.
Go on.
Judge Grindr.
Judge Rinder.
Is that... Is it not...
No.
Because he was acting a bit.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's call him Judge Grindr. It's pronounced Rinder, is it? Not Rinder.
Rinder.
All right, Judge Grindr. And we had to watch it with the volume down low, so low that we couldn't really hear what was saying on. But basically, he's like the campest, baldest, gayest version of Judge Judy.
But not as good as Judge Judy.
It's even shot... It's English. It's English, right, is it?
Yeah.
But it's even shot on the same film stock that Judge Judy is. They
must be selling it to the States.
They've treated it... It's like they've filmed it, shown it in America, and taped it off the telly.
Which one was it that you saw?
It was. He had two common people on there.
Yep, that's every week.
And she lied to him. She won.
That's every week.
But he lied.
Did he give her a fridge?
He said, "Don't ever lie to a judge again, and especially not me." Dismissed. And at the end, it's all the same shots as Judge Judy.
The one I saw was a common couple.
Yeah,
let's call them that. You know what I'm talking about. He was a lot older than she was.
Yeah,
they'd bought a flat together. Unmarried, of course. And he'd bought her a fridge.
Yeah.
And they were arguing over custody of the fridge. And Rinda took great delight in saying, "And so at what point in this romance did you decide to bequeath her the gift..."
Oh, God.
"...of refrigeration?"
And he's a real man.
Yeah, he's a real man. I don't think he's a real judge. He's a real barrister.
Oh, for crying out
loud. I think he's just having fun.
I had a great idea. Me and my friend... who was it? Jeremy, who's a producer. We had a great idea for a show, right? And God knows why no one picked up on this or picked this up. It was such a good show. It'd be me, right? It'd be Judge Judy, but for kids.
Right.
So it'd be me, and we'd have it like a courtroom and stuff.
So it'd be like my kids. She's put her leg on me.
Yeah, right. Bert is the black sheriff, yeah. Isn't on them? Bert, tell us a bit about this. Right, okay, so she's claiming that she's stolen her sweets. Right, okay. Let's hear your side of things. And if you do it all properly and serious, right? Go, right. Okay, well, she's going to give you 5 sweets, but you will give her a 2-second Chinese burn. And then you go out and do that, and no one went for
it. Why not?
I thought that would be brilliant. I'm good with kids. I can speak their language.
You make mine cry.
Well, she stole the hummus.
You stole her hummus. No, she was concerned.
She was hogging the flipping hummus, right?
She was 3.
She was 3 and she was hogging the hummus. Here's the thing, right? If you're having a meal where it's all dippy-dippy shake-shake, right? Don't hog the hummus. She put it right in front of her. Put it back in the middle of the table. No? Well, I'm having the hummus. I like hummus.
She looked away and you whipped it out from underneath her and she looked down and it was gone and serves her
right.
Crumpled.
Serves her right. Serves her right. And I hope she's... Has she ever done it since? Lesson learned.
No, but she still talks
Judge
about that nasty
Judge
man.
Judge Grinder's in the house.
Rough justice
with Judge Grindr, ladies and gentlemen. I think we found the level. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We'll call you back. Katia, Gatford, Dennis, stay there. Come to you after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, okay, so what have we talked about tonight? Basically, I'm glad we read that bit from Will's story. I know it was kind of a bit clunky and it slowed things down a bit, but it has prompted an amazing conversation, including this thing called the Mandela Effect. Where we, what's that? Not that it's about. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Dennis!
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Vietnam! What you got for us, Dendo?
Anyway, yes, Lindbergh baby was found dead. It was Lindbergh himself was an American hero.
Yes.
He was the first one to fly across the Atlantic single-handed. I think he landed in Ireland. And then this chap kidnapped the baby for ransom. And, of course, they found it dead. They finally chalked it up to some ex-German prisoner of war.
Yeah.
He got executed. I don't think he actually did it. I think it was a put-up job just to get rid of him. But that's where the Lindbergh business started. But Lindbergh was, as I say, he was...
But apparently, apparently that baby was never found.
Yes, he was. He was found dead.
But that's only because we've gone over to this new reality.
That's right, yep.
So do you remember when it wasn't found?
No, because I was a youngster. I was in the 30s. And I was a lot younger than I am now, but I do remember that the baby was found. And you in the paper about
you had an alibi.
I don't know, nothing to do with me.
No, I'm not saying it was. I'm just asking. Did you have an alibi?
I couldn't climb up and get in the window.
That would be
too small for me.
That would be your alibi.
My alibi.
I missed that story. I don't know that story. I'll have to have a little look into that.
Yeah, Lindbergh.
Dennis,
he was the first one to fly the Atlantic single-handed.
Say hello to Katia.
Okay, Katia.
Yes, Dennis.
Hello.
How do you do?
What's he doing? What's he doing to you tonight?
Oh, I thought you would answer by how do you do, because they told me when you say how do you do, you have to say how do you do.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Well, I do very well, thank you very much.
Well, we're going from there. I don't know. It's lovely to hear from you.
It's lovely to hear from Ian because he owes me 10 quid at the end of this month.
Was it your birthday?
No, it will be, and he reckoned I wouldn't make 91, so...
Oh, congratulations.
But he didn't hear either.
Yeah. What are you going to do for your birthday?
What are we going to do?
Yes.
Well, I should think my sons will come round and get me blind drunk as usual.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that really reasonable for...
Yes. No, I've got 3 magnificent sons, and they look after my wife and I, so...
Oh.
Grumble. I don't doubt we'll be pouring wine down my neck.
So that's controlled drunkenness, is it?
Yes, that's right. But I said I'm at home, so when you fall out of the chair onto the carpet, I don't fall out outside.
Not too far. Oh, that's lovely. I'm really... What about the presents?
Well, it's usually wine. Tell me about it. I've got most things I need in life.
You should move to Italy or something.
Sorry?
Italy? For the Vino?
Vino?
Yes?
Well, that's great. What? As I say, me and my missus have been together 67 years, so we've been all right.
Oh, that's lovely.
2 months younger than I am. I had 350 years by the time she came along.
She had what?
Thanks for calling, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta. Oh, Katia, what was that about? Losing the will to live there.
Don't be rude.
You were very boring. He was quite interesting. But you sucked the life... You sucked the life out of my show.
Suck the life of stuff. So I have this... do you remember Beckenham? Hello?
When will it ever become acceptable, Cassia, to do Jimmy Savile impressions again?
What's his impression?
Not a good one. No, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have got a letter here from a young lady who would like to meet Adam Ant and his aunts. Well, we can fix it for you. Now then. Well, it's unacceptable to do that.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw him on the telly, and as a foreigner, seeing him...
As a foreigner?
Yeah, I couldn't really get it.
You're lucky you didn't get it, because most people did. Unfortunately, that's the problem.
I wanted to talk about Beckenham.
Have you seen Judge Grindr?
I don't know him, no.
He is a judge. Oh, did you let one out then, Katia?
Why don't you want to listen to my story?
It sounded like you let one out there.
didn't.
You did, didn't you?
Oh.
Oh, come on. We've all... Katya. Okay. Have you farted?
But you... No.
What? Never?
Yes, of course.
We all... I sometimes fart when I'm doing the show.
Not now. This story of mine.
I sometimes... Here's the thing, right? And this is... We're kind of dispelling the shame and the embarrassment around mental illness. Well, also, we should get rid of the embarrassment around bum holes.
W-H-Y...
Yeah, bum holes. And blowing off.
Yeah,
it happens. We all do it. Even the Queen lets rip every now and then.
And even
Mother Teresa used to enjoy dropping her guts.
Okay.
Yeah. Even the Pope has passed air through poo.
Please.
Yeah.
For once in your lifetime.
Even Jesus himself.
I don't care.
Would have cut the cheese.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Everyone, maybe he didn't actually. Maybe his was special. I don't know. But everybody, every man and woman that has walked this, every man, and let me correct myself. Every man or woman that's got an anus.
Do you know of one that hasn't got?
Well,
one?
You just. The thing is, yes, I do actually, Katya. Yes, there's a kid at our school who didn't have an anus.
No.
That's funny, is it? Is that funny to laugh at a little disabled kiddie?
No, it's not funny, but wow. I don't believe you. That's not a possibility.
In this country...
You can't.
What country are you from? Germany?
In Germany,
it might be acceptable to laugh at disabled children. In this country, we don't do that. We don't do that.
I must check that out, because I don't think that you could survive without an anus.
Some people don't have an anus. That is a fact.
Yes, okay, they might have. Yes, after an operation or something. But hold on a second, let me think. What did you say?
What did you call in for, Katya? Tell you what, we'll find out after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Man, I'm tired tonight. Very, very tired tonight. It turns out, it's not just sitting still in the hospital for 7 hours, is it? Which is what I have been doing pretty much every day for the last few days. It's also very stressful as well, isn't it? I would go off, Katya, and I would have my pudding, and then I would go and have a little doze in the car for 40 minutes. And I always think, I always feel sorry for myself when I sleep in my car.
Are you talking to me?
Is your name Katya?
Hello?
There we go. Let's try someone else, hang on. I always feel sorry for myself when I have a little sleep in my car, Gatford.
Really? Why is that?
I just think it's pathetic. And I mean pathetic in the literal sense of the word. I don't mean all...
Do you mean in the sense that you feel like that's where you do your sleeping?
No, hang on a minute. Let me Google the word pathetic and see exactly what it means. Because I think I mean it in its literal sense.
One second. How do you do, Katya?
How do you do?
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Shush. Pathetic. Yep. Miserably inadequate. There we go. Yeah, I feel that that me sleeping in the car is miserably inadequate, and it arouses pity.
Is that because you feel? Is that because you suddenly feel like, I can't even make it home to the bed. I have to sleep in the car.
Well, no, because I could have made it home to the bed. But then it's half an hour there. Sleep for an hour. Half an hour is 2 hours. If you have 40 minutes in the car, you do the math.
Do you feel like that if you have a sleep after a long journey and you know you need to sleep a bit because you've been going
over
the cat?
Hang on a minute. Stay there. Let me just... Stay there. Hang on a minute. Let me try it again. I always feel sorry for myself when I sleep in the car. I feel it's a bit pathetic, Tom.
It's very uncomfortable. How do you get straight?
Well, thank you, Tom. That's a good question. What I like to do is... I push the driver's seat back and the passenger seat as far as it will go. I sleep in the driver's seat. I roll the driver's seat back so that it's lying a bit flat but not completely flat.
Yeah.
I then go onto my left-hand side. My two legs are draped into the footwell of the passenger seat. And my head is in between the seat and the headrest. I have a gap, and I put my right arm over the back of the headrest. For those of you who are watching on Periscope, it looks like...
Yeah, could you demonstrate?
It looks like this. You'll get it in a few seconds. That's how I do it, Tom. And I just think it's pathetic.
How long could you sustain that position? Presumably you get coagulation in your legs.
2 hours, I think, is the longest I've slept in that position. And I, as far as I'm aware, there was no coagulation.
Well, there would have been a little bit.
Well,
you might have got
by coagulation. Do you mean pins and needles?
He means deep vein thrombosis, buddy. He means DVT. Yeah, really? He means really? Death. Death by sleeping.
Can I take you into another zone?
Oh, yeah, please do, because the zone that Katia and Gatford have got me in is as dull as anything.
Earlier, you were talking about the wonders of the human mind.
Yes, sir!
There is this experiment called the double slit experiment.
Yeah.
Scientists fire electrons at a sensor. When the sensor is on, the electrons act like particles. When it's off, they act like waves. They've even got a retrospective sensor which tells them what the particles were, right? Now, scientists say that electrons know they're being looked at. They go back in time and they change from a wave to a particle. And I'm not kidding. It's the biggest mystery in science.
Electrons go back in time?
Back in time. They know they're being
time to Sunday night.
You'll go back in time to my fist in a minute, Gaff. Button it. This is insane.
They know they're being watched.
Yeah.
And they go back in time and change.
And it's interesting
wave.
Because when we know we're being watched, we show off, we put on more of a show, we perform better under some circumstances. Under some circumstances, we perform worse. So being watched does have an effect.
Altered effects.
Flippant. You're right, Tom.
Effect or effect?
Gatford, you're being flippant. Tom, are you on?
I'm going to ask a genuine question.
I'm going to ask a genuine question in a minute, and it's do you want me to kick you again? Tom, are you on drugs?
No.
Ever?
Not really. I don't mind occasionally, but not right now.
Okay, well, we don't condone that, obviously, but each to his own. Katia, Tom's obviously a very wise man. Would you like to ask him a question?
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Katia.
Yes, is it your real voice real?
What?
Huh? Is it my real voice real?
Is it your real voice real, Tom? It's a good question, Katia.
It's true.
History. What's the answer?
It's true. Yes, it is my real voice.
It's true. It's your voice.
You would make a great.
History is my voice.
History is my voice. Said Mary Beard. You would make a great country and western singer, Tom.
Thanks very much.
No worries, man. Thank you.
I'll tell you what. Before you get rid of me, do you like country and western music?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It was a compliment. Oh, it was a compliment.
No, because both of us love Danny Baker and he loves country and western, but I actually think that country and western music is the white man's R&B. It is the whiniest music we can make.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I know we're going to disagree. I love the Monkees and the Beach Boys.
But the Monkees make country music.
Yeah, but that's ironic country. That's Crosby, Stills and Nash country. That's Buffalo Springfield country. Not new country.
I don't like new country, like Garth Brooks.
Garth, yeah.
Or Miley Cyrus's dad. There goes a line.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
that was it. Okay, take care.
Cheers, man. Ta-ta. Right, Katia.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Gatford.
No.
let's try... right, Katia, say hello to this young lady.
No.
Hello.
Hello. I'm losing. I can't say my... When can I say my story?
What?
I've got a story, and I can't say it, so... I don't know. I don't even know why I bother ringing with stories.
Yeah, I'm confused. What's going on?
I don't know. Do you know?
Are you drunk?
Hi? What did you say?
Are you drunk?
Am I drunk? Me, drunk? I've never been drunk. Have you?
Yeah, plenty of times.
Why? Okay. How do you know you're not drunk?
I didn't have a drink.
You sure?
Yes.
Water?
Yeah, but I didn't have alcohol.
No alcohol in water?
No, there's no alcohol in water.
Okay, it's good news.
Yeah. So what did you call in for?
Well, I've got this story I tried to tell for quite a long time, but there's no way I can get through.
So anyway.
What's your story?
The Pepsi logo.
Who?
The Pepsi logo.
The Pepsi logo.
Is it red, white and blue? Is it blue, white and red?
I don't drink.
Yeah, but you must have seen the logo.
Who?
Have you seen the logo of Pepsi?
Not lately, no.
Okay. But from what your memory?
Yeah.
Is it red, white and blue?
Or
is it blue, red and white? No, I mean, is it blue?
Are you crying about the Pepsi logo?
No, I'm asking you, is it red, white and blue? Or is it blue, white or red?
Blue, white, or red. Ah, it's like the Belgian flag and the other one that I can't remember. Is it German? Yeah. It's upside down.
Yeah, but one's horizontal, one's a vertical regarding Belgium and Germany.
That's it.
And I think that
country. I think it's the other one you said. Yeah.
But which one is it?
Hmm. Is it good?
Okay. Oh, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter anyway.
Okay. Do you have an anecdote about the Pepsi logo that you want to share with them?
Do you remember the TV program, Different Strokes? Different Strokes.
No.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Yes, Happy Tree, what you got for us?
Well, you have been blowing our minds tonight.
Yeah, it's been good, isn't it?
And
go on.
I thought I would return the favour by blowing it even further.
Yeah.
There are two types of fetus development.
Uh-oh.
There are deuterostomes and protostomes.
Yeah.
Protostomes develop the mouth first. That's the first opening that they develop about 9 weeks. And, no, 9 weeks is for the deuterostomes, which develop the anus first.
Oy. So hang on.
That's the first thing that is developed. So we were all, human beings are deuterostomes. There is literally a point in all of our lives where we were all dirty.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, wow. So hang on, we grew our anus before our mouths? It turns out, guys, you know nothing. You know nothing. This all started because of Blooming Will Storer in his book, which is The Heretics, which is a cracking book. We'll get him on in a bit, this week or next week. He's going to email me if he ever pulls his finger out. Same with you, Baker. Pull your finger out and get back in touch and we'll sort you out. Anyway, I'm not quite... It's been a very odd show this evening, partly because I am so mind-achingly exhausted. Exhausted. And it's that thing as well. Predictive exhaustion, right? I've got a really busy week ahead of me. Really non-stop busy week all over the place. I had to postpone something I was going to do tomorrow because it's just so busy, and I've got to go to pool on Friday and all this kind of stuff. And I'm anticipating 0844 499 1000, by the way. I'm anticipating the exhaustion and I'm feeling the exhaustion, and I don't know when there's going to be a let up. But I do. I feel sorry for myself when I have a sleep, and I'm very comfortable sleeping in my car. I've fashioned it perfectly, but I do feel very sorry for myself when I'm sleeping in my car. By the way, here's another thing I was going to ask you. This is a little bit techno geeky. Thank you, Tess, messaging me there. This is a bit techno geeky, right? And maybe one of you, dear listeners, was the kinks. Calm down. Can explain this to me, right? So I've got DAB radio in my car, okay? I've only had it since... When did those arses sack me? November. So I got it done in December of last year, right? So that's like 6 months. 6 months, flipping heck. And I've got DAB radio, and I will quite... Well, I'll be listening to DAB radio when I'm driving about. Now, there is a place on the way home. I drive over a bridge, okay? Over a river. And I lose the signal a little bit, and it drops out a bit, and then it comes back, and then what I'm listening to will jump back about 2 seconds. Jumps back about 2 seconds. So you'll hear me saying, oh, hello, everybody, this is... And then it will jump back to me going, oh, hello, everybody, this... It does that, right? And it's a little pocket, and I cannot... I couldn't work it out, and I thought. Then I thought I'd worked it out. I thought, well, maybe we switch it. I'm going between one transmitter and another transmitter.
I don't know.
0844 499 1000. But then I was going home from the hospital a different way, okay, to get to the bridge, and it happened on a roundabout. So it happened on this roundabout where the signal went a bit. Then it started broadcasting. Then it jumped back 2 seconds. I thought, oh, okay, this is where we change transmitter here. Then I drove on for another 2 or 3 minutes and got to the bridge, and then the same thing happened again. So I jumped back 4 seconds. This is really tricky to explain. I hope you're sticking with me. I jumped back 4 seconds from where I originally was, right? This is on DAB. How the hell does that happen? What the heck is going on there? Can anybody explain that? Because, honestly, it's left me scratching my head. I mean, I'm not losing sleep over it, guys. You know, I'm not going home self-harming, hoping that the self-inflicted pain will somehow invoke some kind of thought process that lets me explain what's going on. But it is frustrating me quite significantly. So if anybody, we're coming up to break now, so we'll do call straight to air after midnight. But if anybody has any explanation as to what the hell is going on. Tonight's show, there has kind of been a bit of a theme with Angelos and Barry, with Will Storr and talking about brains, with DAB, with this thing called the Mandela effect, which I shall certainly be reading up on. And I feel a book coming on. Finish the book you're writing firstly. Okay. But I guess it's about the whole show tonight, inadvertently, has been about lies, deception, and not really understanding what the hell is going on. What on earth is going on? There's so little we understand, particularly about ourselves and about our brains, that I don't think we know anything. 0844 499 1000. I'll tell you what, we'll continue this a bit and we'll take some calls straight to air after we have a bit of this.
Talk radio.
Guys, it would be good if you called for the last hour of the show, because I really have got nothing planned. There's absolutely nothing in the papers, and I don't particularly want to read any more out of Will Storr, but I might do. I'll see if I can find another passage. So it's kind of down to you, really, as to whether the next hour is any good or is a bit ropey. Don't call now. I'll give you the phone number when we get back from the news. But basically, between now and 1 o'clock, anything goes, guys.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
On calling me down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on down this road that never seems to end. When you adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
there's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there, and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that hobo style.
So, the way this hour of the show works, it's a little bit different from the previous 2 hours in that you phone up and instead of talking to Catherine or Id, you'll come straight through to the air. The number is 0844 499 1000, 7 pence a minute plus access charge. Significantly more from some mobile phone networks, it depends. And you can come on and talk about anything or do anything or not even talk, say anything. If you want to come on and just be silent, you're allowed to do that. It's a really weird 12 o'clock at night, particularly when it's a bit warm, and it's been very warm recently, isn't it? And it's hard to sleep. And I feel a little bit out of it. And I just know that 12 o'clock at night, if you're not asleep already and you've got work the next day, there's sort of a sense of panic is too strong a word, but there is a certain sense that you really should be going to sleep, but you're not tired, or it's too hot, or you're hungry, or is there anything worse than that feeling of being in bed and thinking, I'm not going to get to sleep because I am thirsty, but I'm not drinking water from the upstairs tap. I'll have to go downstairs to get a drink, but I won't go downstairs to get a drink because I can't be bothered. But you know that you won't be able to sleep until you go and get that drink. Why is the water upstairs not as good as the water from downstairs? If push comes to shove, right, if I'm really thirsty, I will drink the water from the bathroom tap. But I'll kind of, I'll have my mouth really open so it doesn't kind of touch my lips. So that it just fills my belly with water. So I'm not really tasting it. Is it? But why? But this would be my dream house, right? This would be my absolute flipping dream house, right? And if ever I'm a millionaire, I'm going to build a house. And the only the important thing will be that the upstairs water is as good as the water from the kitchen tap. That's going to be the main thing. Yes, it'll have all the bedrooms and all of, you know, the shooby-doo wop-wops, but it's going to have... Why did your house cost £5 million? Well, because the taps upstairs in the three bathrooms, they're connected to the kitchen, so I'm getting the good water, not the crappy upstairs tap water that you normally get. It just seems obvious to me. Why would they not do that? Makes me want to puke, quite literally. Anyway, so the point I'm making is this time of night is a weird time of night, and everyone feels a bit weird. And the fact that you're awake listening to a radio show. We haven't played Katie Hopkins Bingo either yet. And someone sent me some jingles for that. So we need someone to phone up so I can play the jingles. And the fact that you're listening to a radio show, that you have to be a bit more involved to be listening to this at 7 minutes past 12 than you would to LBC or BBC London. A, because you've got to have found it on DAB, which is always a little bit... it's a little bit fiddlier. I don't know how to set the DAB stations on my bedside radio. I don't know how to do it. They're there, but I have to scan through them to get to the one I want. Or you're listening on your app on your phone, or you've got a computer booted up, and you're listening on talkradio.co.uk. So it's more of an involved experience anyway. And what I'm doing this evening is probably a little bit more challenging than what Hopkins is banging on about. 0844 499 1000. We can play Katie Hopkins Bingo if you want. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello. The water upstairs does taste different, doesn't it, from the downstairs water?
It comes from a different place.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, but it comes from somewhere different, but the water has to come from the same place originally, doesn't it?
What, the mountains?
No, I don't know. How?
Isn't the... right, Okay.
Doesn't it come from a tank upstairs? But then how does the water get into that tank?
Well, yeah, the upstairs water comes from the tank upstairs. So it's kind of... Whereas the downstairs water, I think, comes from the mains.
But then the water in the tank has to come from the mains at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But the fact that it's... maybe it's this, right? The fact that it's been stored in the tank means it's a little bit... Water needs to keep moving to stay alive. Stay alive?
Stay alive.
I think it does, though. It's like stagnant water is water that doesn't move, isn't it?
But it definitely tastes different.
Yeah, because it's been stored in. It's dying. We're drinking dying water.
Dying water. Dying water. And I was phoning up to say about being unable to sleep.
Yeah.
And worrying about not being able to sleep, which makes you worry more. And my husband has to get up really early for work. So if I can't sleep, I stay in bed next to him, worrying about the fact that I'm not asleep and I might wake him up. So I just stay downstairs, and I only go to bed when I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're just not tired, you're just not tired. So
here's the thing that breaks my heart, right? I was trying to think of this the other day. I cannot remember the last time, so it must have been years, the last time I fell asleep in front of the television. And I mean, decades. I remember.
Really?
I remember being a kid, right? I'm going to say I was seven, at my nan's house, Nanny Jennings' house, right? And it was really late on a Saturday night. It felt late. It felt like 10 o'clock to me, but it may only have been 7 or 8, right? And I remember I was way past my bedtime. And I thought, if I make a noise, the grown-ups are going to notice me. And they're going to put me to bed. Yeah. They've forgotten about me. Of course, they hadn't forgotten about me. They were just letting me stay up late. And I remember there was a programme, and I kept doing that thing where I was watching it, and then my head would fall forward, and I'd fall asleep, and I'd snap back awake. And I kept doing that. And then the next thing I remember is my dad carrying me and putting me in bed. Fell asleep.
Oh, do you know what? I really miss that. I really miss being falling asleep in the car. On like a way home from a family party or something, and my dad carrying me in from the car where I've fallen asleep.
But you don't sleep the same way. Not you, but we don't sleep the same way we did when we were kids. Because my boys are 6 and 4, and I can get them out of the car while they're asleep. I can put them in their pyjamas, put them in their beds, and they won't wake up. Or at the very least, they'll wake up and go, "What's going on? Where am I?" So don't worry, I'm just putting you to bed, and they'll fall back asleep
because they've got no cares in the world.
Is it cares, or is it? It's certainly a different quality of sleep they're having. Because if there was like the BFG came and got me out of the car when I was asleep, I'd wake up and I'd be awake and I wouldn't be able to get to sleep for 2 or 3 hours.
I think you're right, but I think it's just because their lives are simpler, don't you think? I think that when you kind of become as grown up, then your responsibilities change. So
maybe.
It's like whenever I hear something in the house, like a creaky floorboard, then that's it. I'm convinced that somebody's going to break in, or I think you just put yourself on alert a bit more, don't you?
Has anyone ever invented a silent house? Because houses have got to be some of the noisiest inventions known to mankind.
But then silence can be equally as disturbing if it was completely disturbing. So when I go to sleep, eventually, sometimes, I listen to white noise.
Yeah. Oh, you do that, do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you for that. I'm going to move on because there's another call coming in. Thank you. 0844 499 1000. Is there any phrase more unsettling in than, what's that noise? Oh, it's just the house settling in. What? It's just the house settling in. What the flipping heck? What does that even mean? The house is going to sleep. Yes, line two.
Oh, hello there, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm upset about the phrase, the house is just settling in. Do you know that phrase?
Well, my house has just settled in, actually. It's made it creaking and it's cracking. And the boiler's just done its business.
And what does it mean? It means the house kind of going down to sleep, and now that there aren't humans walking around.
Well, you know, and the ghosts, you know, there's always the ghosts.
Always the ghosts.
According to my partner. I don't believe in any of that rubbish. First of all, number one, if you're up for doing a bit of Katie Hopkins bingo, I'd love that. I do love a bingo.
Hang on a minute, stay there then, because hang on, someone sent me this. You'll be the first person ever to get this.
I'm very excited for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play Katie Hopkins Bingo with the one and only Ian Lee.
Well, get in.
Hang on a minute. There should be another one. Hang on. Let me try. Oh, no. They're all the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play Katie Hopkins Bingo with one and only Ian Lee.
Okay. So they're all the same. So what do you think?
If
Katie Hopkins...
Ian's voice, then
I know. It's disappointing. What do you think Katie Hopkins is banging on about right now?
Well, it's difficult here. Probably, something UKIP-y or something...
Well, the thing is, last week, she's on a rival station, right? Last week, someone was obviously trying to soften her image as an SH1T stirrer. So I
very difficult.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something a little bit softer.
Well, like what about something celebrity? Because
I
think she pretends that she doesn't like celebrities and stuff, but then she's always banging on about them.
Should we have a listen?
Mainly because they're either fat or ugly or whatever. But,
that's Steve Allen's act of stealing that. Let's have a listen. Let's see what she's banging on about. Hang on.
I suppose celebrities telling the public what to do.
Hey! Oh my God. Unbelievable! That was
full house.
That was a full house. That was actually live. Wait. Let's play again. Hang on a second. That was...
You couldn't have timed that any
better. Yeah, right. That's from Dave. I quite like that perspective. I had a bit of a chat with somebody who was fixing our electrics in the offices and making some joke about the fact that the guy was there going to be there till quite late, and he was knocking me back for being a lame person that turned up to my job at 6 p.m. at night. So I think he might have had a point there. So do we like celebrities telling us what to do?
Oh, mate!
Doing the old casual conversations about celebrities.
Yeah. Oh well, buddy. Listen, we're going to send you a cash load of carload of cash.
A five pound book voucher.
We're going to send you literally a car full of cash is going to arrive on your doorstep sometime soon. I don't know when. And you get to keep the car and you get to keep the cash. We've never had that on Katie Hopkins Bingo. He was bang on.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, let's go to line one. One, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. It's Katie here from LBC.
Oh, blimey. Hello, Ian. Katie. Yes.
Ian.
Yes.
I'm very interested in Alan Caddick's Willy.
Would you like
Ian,
to... Yes?
I'd like to play Hopkins Bingo with Alan Caddick's Willy.
OK, well, thank you very much indeed. That really is a distressing image. Catherine, come join me. Turn the outer rim of lights off. Catherine, producer of the show, making her way to the arena. We've not heard from Id for a while either. Id?
Hi.
How's it going, man?
Not too bad, yourself?
Tired. Really tired today, Id. Really, really tired.
I'm feeling tired. I think it's just because it's Monday, first day back after a weekend.
Yeah. What do you do for the weekend? How did your weekend...
Wasn't too bad. Caught up with a few mates for brunch.
Yes. I want to pick you up on this.
Okay.
You said brunch on Friday when I said, what are you going to do? You said, I'm going to go out for brunch. And at the time, I let it slide. Mm. But now you've said it on air, it would be remiss of me not to pick you up on this. Brunch is a made-up word.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch.
But it's...
Elevens is...
It's been around for so long that I think it's now an official word.
We call it elevenses, okay? When do we...
No, elevenses isn't lunch, brunch.
Well,
elevenses is like a cake and a cup
of tea. Yeah, exactly, but you have it at brunch time, if indeed brunch... Brunch is in between breakfast and lunch,
Let's
so it's 11.
It, brunch is breakfast for people who've been out carousing the night before.
I will never... If someone says, let's meet for brunch, I would say no. I'll meet you for elevenses.
Or a big breakfast.
What about a late breakfast? Would that work?
Yeah, late breakfast. Yeah, I'll have that. Yeah. Okay. When?
Hello?
About 11?
Tomorrow. Yeah, okay, fine.
Cool.
So we're going to meet tomorrow for a late breakfast?
Yeah.
I don't particularly like meeting people. Anyway, but I felt hoisted by my own petard there. What is a petard, caller? I did know and I've forgotten.
I know.
I don't know.
Okay, well, shall we ask Catherine? Caller?
Yes.
Would you ask her? You ask her and ask her nicely.
What is a petard?
Well, a petard.
Hang on. Do you think that was asking her nicely?
Yes.
I don't.
I think you could be nicer.
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't know how... Okay. What is a petard, madam?
There we go. I think that was
no,
great.
No, please.
Oh, I think the madam shows respect and deference.
Madam. Well...
Well done. Well
I'm
done.
I'm glad you asked that.
Young lady.
It's a little bomb. A little explosive device.
Yeah.
In fact, in French, pété is to fart.
As we were saying earlier on, even Jesus has cut the cheese. Mm.
Yeah. You're not really supposed to drink the tap water from the bathroom.
Mother Teresa will have done a poo. Just think about that, caller. Just think about that.
You're not meant to... also drink hot water from tap.
I wouldn't drink hot water from tap. Why would I drink hot water from tap? Why would no one likes to drink hot water from tap?
I'm going to do it now just to rebel.
No, don't drink hot water from tap.
Why
would anyone want to drink hot water from tap? Caller's gone. Caller's gone there. Obviously got a little bit of stage fright, and that's absolutely fine. Why don't you all drink
really
hot water?
Really fancy some hot water
from
now. From tap.
I mean, it's a ridiculous suggestion. No one needs to be told, not even the youngest, stupidest, dopiest child needs to be told, oh, yeah, by the way, listen, we're going to go out tonight. Don't drink hot water from tap. Huh?
Why? From tap. You don't drink from tap.
But there is nothing better than council pop. Getting your head under that tap, turning on the cold water tap, obviously, not hot water. That would be insane. Not supposed to. And just...
We all do it. Even if it's a bit lime-scaly.
I love it. Love a bit of water. And isn't it funny? I was thinking the three biggest cons in the world.
Mm.
The three biggest cons in the world. And when I was a kid... If you'd have, in the 70s or 80s, if you'd have said to any member of my family, right, any person, any sane thinking person, that we'd be paying top dollar for these three things, they would have laughed at you, right? The iced coffee, the bottled water.
Whoa. If you're going to Spain, though, you don't want to drink the water.
In this country, I'm not going to say.
Because we all bought that myth, didn't we?
Can you drink the tap water from the Spanish? Can you?
Yes.
You don't get the trots?
I lived there for 6 months. I don't think I bought bottled water.
Okay.
And the trots were minimal.
Here are the three biggest cons of all time. 08444991000 if you want to add to them. The iced coffee. The bottled water. You go into a supermarket, they've got a whole aisle full of bottled water.
And it's supposed to taste different. We know it doesn't.
It doesn't taste any different. And the male grooming products.
Which ones?
Like the moisturisers and all of that stuff. I don't remember anyone in the 70s and 80s, men, looking any different to the way they looked.
Oh.
They looked fine.
Oh, they did, though.
They looked fine.
Two words. Dennis Waterman.
Bam, 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 bam.
Now.
Say those two words again.
Dennis.
Hang on. No. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Say it now.
Dennis Waterman.
Gonna remember me like a boy laser. Why be more done than me?
Yes, line one, you're on the wireless.
Yeah, and it's Rashid, Wagwan.
Wagwan Rashid.
I'm all right. You know Claudio Ranieri?
No.
He's the football manager of Leicester. I know you don't like football and all that.
Okay.
He made me giggle today because
They've done their victory parade in Leicester. There's been about 100,000 people on the streets there.
Yeah.
And he said his speech, but it was like a bit of innuendo in there. He said, it's on the news, it's on your news clip as well. What did he say? He said, I am very grateful for the fans. They get behind us and they push and they push and they push. And when we are down 2-1, the fans get behind us and they push even harder.
Ooh. Ooh, don't bear thinking about, does it?
What do you mean?
If you can get it, man, it's so funny. It made me giggle anyway.
I think he means anal sex.
Oh, right.
They get behind us.
Yes, thank you, Rashid. Hey, guess what I've downloaded for you and I need to burn onto a disc? I mean, legally, of course.
What?
I got this.
Oh, that's number 4. Ah, there's number 11. Now, that's the King's Tar.
Keith?
Let me play the beginning of this. I started watching it. This is so funny. Listen to this. This is the start of Nuts in May, OK? The Mike Leigh film from, I guess, 1977, I'm guessing.
Which I've never seen. The year of my birth.
Oh, it's such a good film. Here we go. So this is them. They're just coming on holiday. OK, listen to this.
Said we'll have a holiday. We'll be with Mother Nature and laugh and sing and play. I want to get away, she said. I want to get away.
I wonder where we'll go, she said. I wonder where we'll go.
I'll look around the world, he said. I'll search both high and low. The prettiest is Dorset, it has so many charms. We'll walk across the hills and dales and look at all the farms.
Not sing that, Keith.
Why not?
That doesn't sound right. I put you to sing. We'll walk across the hills and dales, linking each other's arms.
That doesn't scan.
That's got to be the best opening 64 seconds of any film ever made.
One of the other mums at school talks like her. I'm never going to hear her the same again.
It's so, remind me to burn that onto a DVD tomorrow. It's such a good film. And I started watching it and I got distracted, so I stopped. But it's just one of the funniest things you're ever going to see. And it's so bleak and it looks so 70s as well. It's great. I mean, it is. It's kind of it's the opposite to Abigail's Party, you know, kind of the bright. I mean, that was dark, but it looks bright, and this just looks grey and brown, and really, it looks like a British holiday in the 70s.
Crap holidays that used to get taken on.
Boring and dull, and that's what that film is, but it in an hilarious, really uncomfortable way. You stay here, Candice Marie. I'm going to check in. But I want to come with you. No, stay in the car and do not touch the ignition.
Gosh.
Oh, it's so good. I tell you what, 0844 499 1000. More calls straight to air after a little break.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's such a good film. I'm going to watch that tomorrow and I'll burn that on disc. If you've never seen... So far, I've recommended two excellent things tonight. The Will Storr book, Heretics, which you can get for pennies on Amazon. This is an old library book. Look, this is an old...
I thought you'd nicked it.
No, I bought it. But it's. I think they've taken the front page. This is an old...
Does it stink?
This is an old... Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's an old library book. Now, this...
Have a sniff.
This Dewey gentleman.
Which?
The Dewey Decimal System guy. What was his thinking? Because the Dewey Decimal System, right? It must be named after a guy. Let's call him Steve Dewey, right?
Yep.
It is a rubbish system. It's a series of letters and numbers. Well, hang on a minute, guys. I've got a much better system for storing library books.
Just numbers.
It's called the alphabet. It's called the alphabet. Put them alphabetically.
Yeah, but...
You have your sections, your thrillers, your horrors, your sci-fis... Your romance for the ladies, your large print for the elderly. You don't get large prints often these days. How are old people supposed to read Catherine Cookson?
Great big magnifying glass.
But you do it in alphabetical order. No. Forget the Dewey Decimal System.
Because what you're forgetting is it's for the so you know the books that are missing rather than the ones that are there.
Well, you go there and it's not there. Oh, OK, it's missing. Next. Yes, line one.
Thank you.
It's on speakerphone, which is never good. Thank you for that. I thoroughly enjoyed that. It was certainly passionate. I sound like a ukulele. I can't remember. I haven't played my ukulele for ages. I can't remember any chords.
Nor can I. In my little... I bought the kids' ukuleles as well, thinking I'll help them learn because I could play quite a bit.
Yeah.
And one of them said to me the other day, oh, will you show me one? And I thought, I can't remember any of it.
I picked it up the other day. I said, all right, boys, let's play. I couldn't... And I was trying to do muscle memory and just trying to switch off my brain and go... And I couldn't do it. Couldn't remember it. That fad didn't last long, did it? Well, it lasted long for me.
Do it again. It lasted longer than my accordion.
Yeah.
That was an expensive mistake.
What instruments do you play, Ed? I want three.
I sing. Oh. I can play a little bit of piano. Oh. And I can play a couple of songs on ukulele.
Okay. I can't allow singing as an instrument.
No. Well, we can all sing, can't we?
No, it's like proper, like singing in a choir. Not just like singing along in the shower.
Go on, then.
Well, give me a song to sing.
Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Hey, proper. Don't show off. That's proper, that, isn't it?
I know, yeah.
And here's the thing.
The sort of singing they get your head kicked in at school.
Yeah. Oh, you get his head kicked in at talk radio. You've got 28 minutes. Let's have a dash to the car park, see who gets there first.
As long as TalkSport boys aren't listening.
No, TalkSport boys, they're not listening. They're too busy measuring each other's penises. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone. A competition that Jason Cundy comes last in every single time, particularly when I'm playing. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. 7 pence a minute plus access charge. Access charge is a new thing.
What is that?
It's a new thing, and they've brought it in. I heard a thing about it on Radio 4 about where the access charge comes from. It is, I think it's because there was a complaint. Ah, luckily I'm saved by line one. Yes, line one.
I've got a migraine. I need bottled water. I need water. I can't drink water. I need bottled water. I need to see a doctor because I might have any bottled water. I've got a migraine.
Oh, calm down.
My fear, if I went in the Big Brother house, is if I got a migraine.
Yeah.
But they would... Do you know, if I suspect that knowing what... Oh, saved by a caller. Yes, line one. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Lee. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. A few things. Just wonderful to see your mum's getting better again.
Yep, she's on the mend, yes.
Excellent. I've been following you for about 15 years, so I almost feel like I know your mother, to be fair.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you, man.
Excellent. Secondly, like you, I can't burp, so I have to stick my fingers down my throat whenever I get a bit gassy.
Isn't it awful? It's the worst. It's the worst thing.
You know, you have to go to the toilet, put the hand dryer on or something like that so no one hears you. And thirdly, Katie Hopkins, I actually find her very attractive. I'd love to lick her Wang Chung.
Thank you very much indeed. I literally no idea what was going on there. We need to get James Thornton on this show. He's the guy that does those terrible... Sorry. He's the guy that does those excellent voiceovers for the station. He's the voiceover guy.
Who is?
James.
James Thornton?
Yeah.
The actor off of Emmerdale?
That's the fella.
Oh.
Play, can you play one of my... I think it's him.
No.
Yeah. Play the Wild Man. Play the Wild Man one. That's my least favourite of all of them.
Do we still have that, or are they actually gone?
It was played earlier on this evening.
It's not him, is it?
Yeah. He does the I think he's a bit of a stalker, if I'm completely honest.
I know, I like him. I liked him until...
Yeah.
That...
Let's see how many followers he's got before I slag him off.
He's got loads.
74,000. I like him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, housewife's favourite.
Good guy. Powerful guy. Powerful man. But he's the voiceover guy.
Is he now?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah, that's him. He gets
Ian Lee.
And you know, for every one of those, he gets £1,000 every time it's played out.
So that's £1,000 extra but there.
Straight away. And I don't mind putting cash in that guy's pocket. No.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Christmas. We have ways of making you talk.
Beautiful. We should get him in the studio, or at least on the telephone, or at least on a decent ISDN line, and make him perform like a monkey.
Yeah.
And get him to say rude things about Julia Hartley Brewer. Julia Hartley Brewer, she shouts at everybody on her team, in front of everybody else, so the gossip spreads around the office that she's a shouter. And then other hosts make joke about it on air, like this. Stuff like that.
Okay.
It's based on a true story, by the way. Yeah, no, he's a nice guy, and he's a very nice guy. I've never met him, but we've had a little Twitter relationship
so
for quite some time.
So weird. Does
private messages?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Does he send you?
Yes.
It's
quite impressive. He beat Jason Cundy.
Oh well, everyone. I could beat Jason Cundy.
Hands down. 08444991000 is the telephone. He basically is just saying that Nutsy May is brilliant. He's reminding me of the line, "Get back to your tenement." Such a good film. And I've not seen it for about just the right amount of time, probably about 5 years. So it's just the right amount of time for me to watch it again and get back in and it to be fresh.
Well, I've never seen it. Now it's being built up.
It won't disappoint. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling.
Hello, sexy.
Hello, sexy.
How are you, mate? You're all right.
Oh.
Well, that was chilling, wasn't it?
Do you know what, Russ? I did not have a clue. That was you.
You're getting all excited.
I was. I thought, oh, there's a Parisian. There's a muscular Parisian that wants to whisk me away from this, back to his dirty little flat, and have really hairy sex with me. I'd be up for that at the moment.
Hey, you're not far from the truth there, Ian, but I'm not a Parisian.
No.
And I'm not muscly.
No, but you're a hairy... You're hairy.
Big, fat, hairy...
And you got a dirty little flat.
Anyway, I'd sort of ring up and say hello, and show's going good tonight. And
it's an interesting one tonight. And I was saying to the Periscopers, it's perhaps not working tonight, but it is working because... I sometimes beat myself up a bit that I try different stuff or I do stuff. Tonight's just a different show where I've never read from a book before on the air. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you are an open book, Ian, when it comes to your show. You're open.
Well, I'm going to close my book on your fingers.
Oh,
that is good.
I never said hello to Kath, by the way.
Oh, go on.
Good evening, Kath.
Oh, thank you. Doesn't matter.
Hello, love.
You gave him the sexy stuff, I noticed.
Yeah.
Well, so you'll be your turn next time, and Aid, he'll have his turn. I know Aid, you know, when I ring up, I don't tell you this, but he gets a bit fruity on the phone line.
Yeah,
them Kiwis.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is there any chance? You know, when people ring up and they have like music playing underneath them.
Yeah.
Is there any chance I can have a my little sort of like calling theme tune?
Yes, you can. And do you know what? I've got the perfect bit of music for you. I tell you what, hang on, let me just cue it up. Right, okay.
Can I be a real diva and request it?
No, that's
whenever
not...
I ring, I'll get
Yeah, of course you can. I tell you what, whenever you ring, we will play this little bit of music, okay? Right, so what we're doing... Hang on a minute, I've just got to load it up into the old... The computer's going a little bit funny. Right, are you ready? Okay, so we are going to go to... hang on, the computer's been a bit funny. Right, hang on, here we go. Let me just wait for this to boot up. Right, and let's go to Line 1. Hello, Line 1, who's this?
It's Russ in Litchfield.
See you later. Ta-ta, ta-ta. It's a gag that always works. Let me just take this one call before we go to a break. The Blue Oyster Bar from the... Yes, Line 2, you're on the wireless.
Hello. Can I add something to your list of scam products?
Yes, please do. As long as it's not an actual product that will get us into serious trouble, then yes, away you go.
Am I not allowed to say a brand name?
I think if we're calling them a scam product, it's probably best if we avoid actually having to go to court and prove that it is a scam.
There's a certain type of orange juice which is said to be 50%.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Yes. I may like to consider myself a rebel and breaking the rules of nighttime radio, but the rule of libel, the law,
the actual law,
law of libel is one that I choose to adhere to.
Get this, I've got to come in and do a course on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, what
about? Half past one in the afternoon. You know the law.
Yeah.
The law that I've been upholding for 15 years as a journalist. The law that I went to university for. I've got to come in and do that in an hour. That's that sorted.
In your face, in your face.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Oh, man. Proper tired. As soon as this show is over, I'm heading straight down to the car, driving home, going to bed. I'm getting up quite early to go and sit in a hospital for 7 hours. That's
the plan.
That's the plan, Stan. Won't be able to visit her on Wednesday at all. Well, not so sure I get any visitors on Wednesday, which is a little bit tight. But, you know, that's the way it goes, guys. That's the way it goes. Last 15 minutes of the show. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number, if you want to give us a call. In this, also in this Will Storr book, he talks about this disease. It's such a good book. It really makes you think. I'm looking forward to going back and reading Versus the Supernatural, and I bought another one of his books as well. John Ronson on the back saying this is funny, exciting, and strangely haunting. Talks about this disease. Let me make sure I get the name of it right. Morgellons.
All right.
Have you heard of Morgellons?
No.
Right. So what it is, it's this disease that hundreds of thousands of people around the world get.
Have I got it?
Well, we'll find out. They got itching. Itchy, very itchy. It'll just come on suddenly and they'll just be itchy. It'll be itchy all over and it'll feel like there are little insects under their skin. Scratching these insects. And they'll come up in welts.
Mm.
Right. And then through the welts come out little, tiny, tiny little strands, little hairs.
What?
Through the welts.
What?
Morgellons. And do you know what causes it? Nothing. It doesn't exist. This disease doesn't exist, right? But all of these people, hundreds of thousands of people, claim that they have this disease, right? And that they have conventions about this disease.
But do they get the welts and stuff?
Yeah. And then they take...
It's making me itch.
Yeah, they take the little hairs to their doctors, right? And as soon as they present them with the little hairs, the doctors treat it as psychosis and treat it as a form of, like, a mild form of madness.
Because as far as he's concerned, they're pulling their hairs out.
Well, the people say, look, the hairs are coming out through the skin.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever to prove that these are coming out. And all the fibres that these hundreds of thousands of people have, some of these fibres are analysed. Basically, it's just bits of clothing or bits of hair and stuff. And it's their mind playing this trick on them.
Wow.
So the itching part is... Oh, saved by a call. Good, because I was getting to the end of my knowledge there. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Ian Lee.
Yee.
Yee. All right, mate, it's Paul calling from Canada.
From the actual Canada?
From the actual Canada, yeah.
Whereabouts in the actual Canada, remind me?
I've never told you before. I'm kind of near Toronto.
Okay, near Toronto. Okay, nice one. Oh, have we ever spoken before?
Yeah, you banned me for the rest of the week Friday about 10 to 1.
You're that chancer. Well, luckily, that ban has now been lifted, Paul, but I'm hovering over the ban button.
Okay. Well, let's hope I don't fall foul of that again.
Remind me, Catherine, what did this chancer do last time for me to ban him? It was something outrageous, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Was he racist or anti-Semitic or...
Was it 70 sweets?
What was it, Paul, that got you the ban?
It was recommending the band Moxie Fruvis.
Yeah, they were awful.
Worse than all of those things I've just mentioned. Ooh.
So you just watch yourself,
Paul. They weren't
Paul.
That bad.
Oh, well.
Well, I'll be careful. I'll be careful.
Okay.
I'm just curious about something. Now, the older I get, I'm becoming more and more aware of stage fright when I'm in a public lavatory. Let's put it
that way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shy bladder.
Yeah, it's a known phenomenon.
Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-da. Yeah, so the worst it's ever been was today at work, and the toilets near my office only have 2 urinals and 2 cubicles.
Yeah, yeah.
So I walk in. There's a chap using the far one, but there is, and there's a guy in the cubicle, but there is a free cubicle. So okay, I'll go in there. So I went in there.
Yeah.
Left the door open.
That's
someone
weird.
Came in and used. Well, it was only going to be quick.
Well, that's
someone
true. I left the door open. I retract that immediately. I did a wee in a cubicle. There was a man at the urinal. I left the door open.
Why do you do that? To show you're not having a poo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. So someone came in and used the other urinal, and then someone came in and stood pretty much right behind me.
Oh.
And I had to abandon ship.
Ship, he said. Abandon ship.
Yes, ship.
Yeah, these things happen, man.
But why?
Those small...
It never used to bother me.
Well, here's the thing, right? I could never do a number 2 if there was someone in the cubicle next to me. Couldn't do it. I would sit and I would wait for them to go.
Would you not, like, do the trick of putting the paper down?
No.
Dropping it quietly?
Couldn't do it. And I would wait. I could be in there for, like, half an hour waiting for them to go.
Wow.
Right? Now, I don't care. I don't care. I'll just let
it go. They're probably relieved to hear you do it so they can.
Well, relief is the actual word. Yes, I don't care anymore. Listen, as we've already discussed, Mother Teresa would have curled one out at some... At some point in her life, that would have happened.
And the Pope would have done it.
The Pope would have done it. We're not sure yet whether Jesus did bodily functions. We don't know. We just don't know. Because he was not of this world, but yet he was.
No, he was. He was made flesh.
Well, yeah, I know. But whether he was made... We don't know, you know, if he had every orifice. But let's, you know. But we don't know. But certainly those other two examples of holiness. Well, the Queen's doing it all the time. She's probably doing one now. With a flag
all
on.
The time?
Yeah, constantly. 24/7.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for that. 0844.
Can I ask a question?
He's gone.
No, well, you can help me. You're a man.
Yeah.
At what stage do men, when you're doing a wee in public, which is what you tend to do, when do you stop dropping your trousers completely?
Some people do that all the time.
What, round the ankles?
Yeah, I've seen that happen. Well, some people like undo the belt on the top button and pull it all open.
Right.
Which is weird. I just undo the fly. That's what it's for. I have a big fly. Some men pull it kind of down there, around their bum a little bit. I've seen men at the urinal with their trousers around the ankles. Very rarely.
What? So they've got a completely bare bum?
They might have their pants on. They might have their pants on,
because little boys drop the whole lot, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. James has just sent this. Hang on, here we go.
Is that a banjo?
Yes, that's one of our interests. I have a banjo and Candice Marie has a guitar. Would you like to show your guitar to Ray, Candice Marie?
What?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we make up songs together. We went on a trip up to London one day last year and made up a song about going to the zoo. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Oh, that's all we get. It's such a good film. I think we've got I know Talk Radio has the deal with those fish and chips guys and all of those things. That's great. This show is going to be sponsored by Mike Lee's Nuts in May, brackets 1976. I believe it was a play for today. Mike Lee's Nuts in May is the proud sponsor of this show. That's where the big bucks are, Catherine.
Blimey.
Bucks are.
Can't wait to see it.
Boy, oh boy. Honestly, it will live up to the hype. It will live up to the hype. Honestly, I guarantee
it. Am I going to be talking like her for the rest of whichever day I see watching it?
Yes, Candice Marie.
Anyway.
Well, 5 minutes, 5 minutes of show to go, and no content to be found.
Oh dear, Windy Pops again.
A little bit. Talked about the brain. Talked about DAB. talked about The Best Fight, Rubbish Films, and Judge Grinder. So that's all of... Just checking, that's all of my topics for tonight's show done. Catherine, what topics have
periods,
you got?
Periods. Ovaries.
Yep.
Itchy bras.
There we go.
And one more. And the menopause.
What's all this sleeping in bras?
Oh, I tend to.
Why? I would find to have my breasts encased in any form of cloth. There is a certain restrictive quality about it, particularly the tightness of the strap at the back and the kind of structure of the bra. I would not be able to. How do you lie on your front with breasts?
Well, the same way you lie on your front with a winkle.
No, because the winkle.
Because I always wonder about that, and now I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Luckily,
does it pull?
We're saved by line one. Yes, line one. Oh dear, my God! No, thank you.
Queen.
No, because if you look at a man's...
I know, but you've got a lot of, things...
But it's back. The front of the legs create, when you're lying down, it's you're not lying on it because there's like a
Do you not spread eagle sometimes?
No. I never dream of doing anything as outrageous
as that.
Oh, I do. That's not a possibility.
I do.
But to lie on your breasts...
Yes.
Yeah. I would imagine is... Well, let me just imagine lying on your breast. Now, I would imagine it's a very uncomfortable thing.
Can be. You just got to get the right angle. You got to get the angle of your dangle right.
Maybe not yours, but someone with big boobs.
Mine, on paper, are big.
Hey, come on. Put them on paper then. Let's have a look.
It's all up. You know, you don't go straight on. You don't go squash them in.
Can I just
you?
Say, guys, we've got Sean. I'm going to do this. Sean is listening in Australia.
Hi, Sean.
And he just says, Goldstein and Cundy just got the flick. What I think he means by that is he switched over to us. He's no longer listening to those guys. I hope I've got that right, Sean. And you're very, very welcome. Okay, you're very, very welcome, Sean. It's great. It's always great to be a breakfast show somewhere in the world. And I guess that's what we are right now. Don't judge us by tonight's show. I mean, normally it's better than this.
Well, normally it's different from this. I wouldn't say it's been a bad show. It's just been a different show.
It has been a different show.
Yeah. It's been quite deep. It's been a little bit... A bit weird, isn't it?
I'm glad we got calls on the back of that Will Store stuff because I was unsure whether people would object to me reading and stuff. And so we found out about the brilliant the Mandela compound. Was it called the Mandela Effect on Robben Island?
I quite fancy reading that book now.
It's good. When I finish it, you can read it.
Good.
But I want my Miranda Sawyer back.
Well, I'm reading that now.
Okay. Well, I'll have it back when it's finished. Yeah. One book at a time.
I knew it wasn't keepsies.
Yeah, it's one book at a time.
When am I getting Carly Simon back?
Well, that is you've not set your system. I've set my system one book at a time. I've only got one book of yours, Carly Simon. Is the Rumours DVD, is that yours or mine?
Yours, I think.
Okay.
Mine.
That's too late. Too late, guys. Well, listen, we kind of we didn't do the there'll be no intro or outro for the podcast. That's just deal with it. Why should I really? You can download a podcast of the show. You can get it from iTunes.
It's there
type
now.
In Ian Lee Talk. It's there now. Or you can get it from all of your usual podcast providers. Do subscribe from as many different accounts as you can because I am a pathetic human being and I am desperate to be liked. Aren't we all, really? Aren't we all, really? That's what it's all about. And that's kind of it. The show is, as it often does... And I think it's a nice thing that it does. It's just petered out. Peters and Lee. It's petered out. Like Peters and Lee. So. Almost identically. Actually, nothing like Peters and Lee at all.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.